All right. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 a.m., and it's Friday.
Yeah!
Which means all the regular Friday features are coming up. It's Fly Jams Friday coming up later on, and we've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. And, of course, Straight Out of Context, you know what that is. You listen 24-7 to this radio station whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And Nick D Show Spies, that's when you listen to this station 24-7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, you become a spy. We want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it. Again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And also, we will have You Big Dummy. Now, these are the special You Big Dummies that we're doing because we are on our way counting down to the dummy of the year. Yes, that's right. The biggest dummy of 2018. We've got, what we do is we take the winners from each week from the past year and we read them and they become semifinalists and we narrow it down to who was the biggest dummy from last year. And we've got many more. What is it? April through June. We're doing this morning. So the winners from April through June, we will repeat from each week we did it. And then I will vote, Dan will vote, and then the third vote will be from you guys. You can help us climb the mountain to crowning the biggest dummy of 2018. So all of that is coming up. We are also going to talk about some really amazing courses that you can take. Ivy League courses, classes that you can take online for free. We got some of those. And then we also have some very unusual courses that you can study at university. And if you've ever actually had a weird class, because they, you know, a lot of colleges offer some unusual classes and some weird stuff. So we're going to jump into that, too, and we'd love to hear from you. As always, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can jump in anytime you want. And by the way, if you want to call in now or text in now, Herb Weisbaum is going to join us. He's our consumer guy. And if you have any concerns and consumer issues or questions, Herb is here to help you out. That's what he does. He covers the consumer beat and he helps out people, you know, to save money and stay away from scams. If you've got questions or concerns in that department, we would love to hear from you. And we're going to go to him in just a few minutes. So if you want to call up or text with any of your questions for Herb, consumer related, that's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Nick D Show. So that's what's coming up here on this Friday morning. Let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagrew. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you, sir?
All right, man. How about yourself?
I'm okay. Friday, so you looking forward to the weekend?
Yep, looking forward to the weekend. Have dinner plans with some friends and just catching up on things I didn't get done early in the week. So.
There you go. All right. The weekend is coming, is upon us, and let's go to the newsroom, and it's Vic Vaughn. Hiya, Vic.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, man?
Doing very well.
Good, good, good. What's up on the docket for you for this weekend?
I've got two of the three kiddos here in Chicago. The third one, I spoke with you earlier, is going to be taking part in his first varsity wrestling meet. In now, DeKalb.
He's going to a varsity wrestling, but tell everybody how old he is.
He's 12.
And he's in seventh grade.
I found out last night. Last night I found out. He called me and told me the coach put him on the varsity team. He's a big kid.
Yeah.
He's a big, strong kid. And so he's been going against varsity wrestlers at his school because the seventh and eighth graders on the JV team are much smaller than him. So the coach said, "Do you want to try it?" He said, "Yes." And the coach said, "Okay, the bus leaves at this time. We're going to DeKalb Saturday." He said, "Does this mean I'm on the varsity team?" He said, "You're on the varsity team."
Wow, that's so, something, man.
Yeah.
That's really something. So he's a big, now, he's a big dude, huh?
Yeah, he's, I mean, you know, there's bigger kids than him even I've seen, you know, but he's, you know, he's a big kid. He's not, you know, he's lean too, but he's 170, a little over 170 pounds at 12.
He's pretty big,
and he's getting tall too. So he's,
wow. I
think, you know how the doctors predict what you'll be? His doctor says he's going to be 6'4", about 220. So,
jeez.
That'll be, you know.
What were you going to say, Dan?
Is this the same son that played football?
No, that's his older brother.
Look at you, just creating stallions. Left
my
and right.
God, man, athletic.
I believe the genes come from his mother's side. They've got two collegiate. He's got two cousins who were collegiate athletes, so it's from their side.
Yeah, Wow, so still, that's something. You got some class athletes in your
good,
family.
Yeah, we, some of my good friends in the Guest family. Scott was a former minor league baseball player, and his wife Kathy was a collegiate basketball player. So we always joke about their tall, athletic babies that they're going to be producing soon. They have five boys, so we're looking forward to whatever amalgamation they're going to be producing in the near future.
I always love when you know, like I have a lot of friends who have kids, and you know, like whenever they have like a boy, because I have a lot of friends who are like ridiculous baseball fans. So whenever they have a boy, they're like, "I'm going to train him to do everything with his left hand because I want him to be a southpaw, and I want him to be a major league baseball player, and to be a fantastic southpaw." So he's like, "I'm going to tie my kid's right hand behind his back." So, well, that's great, man. Well, congratulations to your son.
Yeah, thanks. I'll pass it on, Nick.
Yeah, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, sir.
And you're here till 5. Dan's here till 5. I'm here till 5. And you're here till 5. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And later on, your Fly Jam requests. And right now, if you have any questions or real concerns about scams or consumer issues or questions and you need some help, Herb Weissbaum is about to join us. And you can call in or text right now at 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out all of his stories and subscribe to his newsletter at consumerman.com. And he joins us monthly, and he's a good friend of the show. It's Herb Weissbaum. Hi, Herb.
Hi there, and I will not be here till 5 o'clock, either your time zone or mine.
Ah, exactly. Exactly. How you been, Herb?
Very well. Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you since last year.
Yeah. How was your New Year's?
Very uneventful. We always stay home to take care of the dog who totally freaks out when local people set off fireworks.
Yeah.
So we always just have a very quiet, mellow New Year's. But it was very nice. Had a great, looking back on 2018, it was a great year. And looking forward to, God willing, even better 2019.
Right. I want to thank you, by the way, for the very, very nice holiday card that you sent me, Herb. It was really, really nice.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, as I told Dan, I love being on the show. I look forward to it every single month, and your listeners are great. A lot of them write me, and a lot of them sign up for the newsletter, and it's just a joy to be on the show with you.
Well, it's always great to have you on, Herb. And so happy 2019. We'll make it a good one.
Thank you.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for any and all consumer-related concerns and questions. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Herb, tell everybody about yourself.
Sure. I cover the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. I also work at a local radio station, KOMO in Seattle. Been covering the Consumer Beat since about, 1981, seriously. I did a little bit of it before that. And I have a website, consumerman.com, where all my stories from NBC get posted, and I have a lot of resources there. And I just don't like fraud and scams and try to alert people to those and also ways to save money and be smarter. So a little bit of everything under the consumer umbrella.
There you go. Herb is with us, and if you want to join in, questions or comments or concerns, talk or text 312-981-7200. So, Herb, this is the time of year when people start getting their bills from all the money they spent in December. Does this happens annually where people are like, "Oh my God, I'm in debt."
It's a big time of year for that, where a lot of people get clobbered with the bills. It's also the time of year when people make a lot of financial resolutions. Resolutions in general. They say, "Hey, I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to stop drinking, and I'm going to clean up my financial life." So I assume we want to talk about the financial resolutions thing.
We do. I want to talk about it after we take a break, though.
Okay. Credit card debt. The pause that refreshes sort of comes for the bills start arriving in January.
Yeah, it really is. It really is crazy. You know, people who do all that, because everybody has such a great time in December, or they want to, and they want to be generous and buy people. We were talking about this before, and buy people a bunch of gifts and all kinds of stuff. And then in January, when the mail, you know, you're having a great time in the holidays, you're with your family, you bought them a really great gift and all that stuff. And then in January, you open up your mail and go, "Oh man, I forgot this was going to happen."
Except for the people that had a budget and stuck to their budget, because with those people, everything should be fine.
Yeah, it should be, theoretically. Yeah, it should be. And well, why don't we take a break, Herb? We'll come back, and you do have some resolutions for people for the new year.
I do, and some of them I've already done myself.
All right, great. Hang on, okay?
Yep.
All right, Herb Weissbaum is with us, Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out his website at consumerman.com. And he can help you out, too, if you have concerns or questions. That's what he's here for. 312-981-7200. Talk or text, and we'll help you out. Welcome back. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 floors above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive on this Friday. All of our regular features, Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and You Big Dummy, all coming up a little bit later on. But right now, we are talking with Herb Weisbaum, who's a good friend of the show. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can read his story, subscribe to his newsletter at ConsumerMan.com. You can follow him on Facebook at ConsumerMan and on Twitter at TheConsumerMan. And let's welcome Herb back to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, you know, you want to help people save money. It's one of the things you want to do.
Yes.
And you have these 7 resolutions to improve your financial well-being. How'd you come up with these?
I just sort of thought about the things that are needed to be done in the year to, you know, some things are in our control and some things aren't. I mean, we can't control fluctuating interest rates. We can't control the volatile stock market. But there are things that we can do in our life that we can change, that we can realize what's going on in the economic world and act accordingly. So I came up with these 7 resolutions that could make a big difference for individuals and families based on sort of this is the control you have over your financial life.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we get started?
Sure. Probably the most important one is pay down credit card debt. I got to tell you, Nick, if there's ever a year to make paying down your credit card bills a New Year's resolution, this is absolutely it. Interest rates are at a record high level right now, and they continue to go up every single week. I just checked today, according to Bankrate.com, the current interest rate is 17.66% nationwide.
Wow.
When I wrote this article 2 weeks ago, it was 17.59%. So we continue to go up. All the financial experts I've spoken to expect rates to continue going up in 2019. And remember, for retail credit cards, store credit cards, the rates are significantly higher than that, or it's also higher for people who have poor credit scores. So this is just the average interest rate. There are a lot of people paying, you know, 22, 25, in some cases 29% interest on their credit card balances.
Wow.
So there really is a need to deal with this thing. And I first of all, for a timely note, you have to, you know, absolutely make sure. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, I'll get that in a second. But you have to absolutely make a dent in that balance. I mean, you've got to get it started now. Don't look at it and say it's too big to start. You've got to start it. And the key that fools a lot of people is they think by paying the minimum balance they're going to get somewhere, and you're really not. Paying that minimum either keeps you running in place, you're basically on a treadmill, or if you're still using the card to make charges, and I know you know this from your personal experience,
yep,
you're going backwards.
That's right.
You're actually getting deeper in debt, and you think you're paying the bill off. You're never going to get this thing paid off.
Yeah, no, that's true. And speaking from personal experience, Herb, are there ways, you know, because a lot of people are intimidated by this kind of stuff, Herb, and when they get that bill and go, oh, my God. In experience with talking with people who've had these problems, how can people sort of deal with what the other pressures are that come along with these bills?
Well, there are various strategies, if that's what you're asking, for paying down credit card bills.
Yeah,
and no one agrees if there's the right one. There's the one strategy that says pay off your lowest balance first because it gives you a success right away and then you'll be encouraged to do more. There's the other system that says pay off your highest interest rate credit card first because that's costing you the most money. That one makes more sense to me,
mm-hmm,
but again, what works is what makes the most sense. I think it's very, very important here that if you find yourself in credit card debt and don't know what to do or don't know where to start, find a non-profit credit counselor in your neck of the woods, and they will work out a plan for you. You'll come in, you'll have free consultation, you'll go over your budget, they'll find out where the money's coming and going, they'll work out a payment plan for you that will work for you. I've seen people come in with, I'm not kidding, $90,000 or more of credit card debt, and in 4 years, they were credit card free. The one couple I profiled, not only credit debt free, but they bought a house.
That's
it
impressive.
It can be done.
That's really impressive.
It's not insurmountable. But don't go to one of these paid places. You want to go to a non-profit credit counselor, and the way to find that is to go to the National Council for Consumer Credit. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling, and they're at nfcc.org, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, nfcc.org. The link is with this story, which is on my website on the 7 financial resolutions, but that's a really good place to start. They are there for you to help you make your goals.
And in this piece, you actually talked with the Vice President for Communications of the NFCC.
Yes, Bruce McCleary, a very good guy, and he is just, you know, he said to me, this is the most important thing that he thought people needed to do if they had a credit card balance, is knock that down. If we start to go into a recession in late 2019 or 2020, that's going to make it even worse. Interest rates are going to continue going up. If the Fed does wind up raising interest rates sometime later this year, it's going to go up again. The situation's only going to get worse. You might as well start dealing with it right now.
Yeah. And again, as you said, Herb, it is not insurmountable, and it can be done. And I'm just, and again, I'm speaking, as you know, Herb, I'm speaking from personal experience.
You just have to want to do it and follow the guidance. That's
absolutely
the two keys.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, what's your next resolution, Herb?
Number two is create a family budget. Fairly simple and straightforward. You can't know where the money, you can't control your spending unless you know where the money's coming and where the money's going. And according to the NFCC, this group, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, only 2 in 5 adults really have a budget and closely watch their spending. And that figure hasn't changed since 2007. Very troubling, because again, you got to keep, businesses have budgets, groups have budgets. It's the only way you know what's going on. And if you have a budget, they found that you're much better prepared to deal with an emergency without having to go deeply into debt or missing credit card payments or loan payments, because you have a flow and a cash flow and you know where things are going, and hopefully a little bit of savings. So that's another key thing. And again, if you contact a nonprofit credit counseling agency, they will help you set up this budget at the same time that they look at your finances. So that's another thing that they can do for you as well.
All right, that's great. Great advice. Great advice. Now, you know, did you have a budget when you were younger, Herb? Did you start out having a budget, like right out of the gate?
No, I really didn't, but I'm very hypersensitive to what's coming in and what I'm spending money on. So while I didn't have it for paper when I started out in the world, I was really cognizant of what I was making and what I was spending, and I sort of knew where I was and just did that kind of thing. I know my father ran a drugstore. He was an independent businessman, and he was very keen on having a budget and making sure. And I work on boards of a number of nonprofits, and again, we are key to making budgets, and that's how you have a successful operation. You see where you're going, and you spot any problems you're having it early on, so you can deal with it, and that's what a budget helps you do.
And again, people can contact a financial expert in this regard if they're a little intimidated by trying to figure out how to make a budget, correct?
Yeah, you can probably find budgets online, but again, if you talk to a nonprofit credit counselor, again, you're not paying them any money, they're working for you, and they're going to try to get you a situation where you set up this budget, and then if you have the credit card debt to deal with at the same time, you can deal with that. There's usually a very minimal, it's how much you can afford, minimal payment if you start a program with them. I mean, I've seen $15 a month, $10 a month, so it's not a big deal, and they can really give you some good advice. You don't have to spend a lot of money to get the help you really need.
And you just mentioned that you can find budgets online. Is that just a guide for people?
I've never done it, but I cannot believe there are not like budgets, like little just spreadsheets or whatever you can make to help you with yourself. And again, that's the other thing. People go, well, I'm not a financial wizard. I mean, you're not running General Motors here. You can have a little tablet, a spreadsheet, something. Here's how much I'm making that's coming in this month. Here are the routine bills I know I have to pay right away. How much does that leave me this month or whatever? Can I here's a little bit I'm automatically going to put away for savings, and here's what I need for the rest of the bills. It's not like you have to do a math project here doing your thesis. You're just trying to keep track of what's coming in and what's coming out, and especially the bills. They're going to hit you every month, so you don't get surprised and go, I didn't leave enough to pay the electric bill or the phone bill or the cable bill or whatever.
Yeah. And again, I mean, some of this stuff, Herb, is intimidating to people, so to have help and to make it as simple as possible is a good thing.
Absolutely, no question about it.
All right, Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TheConsumerMan, and you can check out his website at ConsumerMan.com. We'll tell you about his newsletter as well. We're two resolutions in. We got five more resolutions to help you out with your money situation in 2019. These are resolutions that you can follow for the entire year. 312-981-7200 is talk and text. Any questions or concerns about consumer issues, call us or text us. 312-981-7200. The news is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams Friday. You Big Dummy, as we get closer to crowning a Dummy of the Year. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies. We're going to talk about Ivy League classes that you can take online and weird classes that have been available at colleges all over the place. And we'll finish up our discussion about the iconic and most memorable logos, corporate logos. But right now, our good friend Herb Weissbaum is with us. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. He has a website called ConsumerMan.com. And he joins us each month to help you out with your consumer issues and concerns and questions. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Any questions you have for Herb, let's bring Herb back. Herb, welcome back.
We love those listener questions.
All right. And yeah, you can do that. We'll get those in here at 312-981-7200. Get some calls and some texts in as well. But now we were talking about your how to save more money. You have 7 resolutions to improve your financial well-being for this year coming up here. It's 2019. We did 2 resolutions. Let's go to number 3.
Okay, and this is a way to make a little bit more money this year, and that's the look for higher returns for cash investments. As we all know, interest rates are going up. That's bad if you're having borrowing money, but it's good if you're a saver. But you can't wait for those higher interest rates to land in your lap and find you. You've literally got to go out and look for them. Most banks and credit unions, honestly, still pay fairly stingy returns on their savings accounts and even their money market accounts. What you want to do is take the savings, if you have some, and move it into a top-yielding online savings account. And these things are federally insured. They're completely liquid. They can be linked to your existing checking account for easy transfers back and forth. And some of these high-yield accounts, according to Bankrate.com, are currently paying as much as 2.4% interest, which is about 10 times more than the national average for a savings account. So that's just a smart tip. So if you have some money, you're building up a rainy day account. You get maybe you get a payment from your pension that comes real big. Or sometimes if you're taking money out of your 401k or your IRA, you take out a significant amount of money every quarter or something like that. Stick it in one of these high yield savings accounts, fully insured, and like I said, that's really easy to do. And then you can do all your transactions online. You can hook it right up to your checking account, and when you need to pay bills or something, just move a little bit of money, transfer a little bit of money into your checking account, but the rest of the money's making a high percentage return, 2.5%, and it's like guaranteed. It's not like the roller coaster of the stock market. So just a smart way to do that with your money. I did that. I found an account that's currently paying 2.20%, and it makes me feel like I'm actually being smart with making some money on my money.
Okay, that's good. All right, yeah. Number 4.
Contribute more money to your retirement accounts. The IRS this year raised the annual contribution limits on employer-sponsored retirement plans as well as individual retirement accounts, IRAs, by $500 this year. So if you have a 401k or similar plan from your employer, the amount you can contribute for the full year is goes up from $18,500 to $1,900. And if you're 50 and older, you still get to make that additional catch-up contribution, which is $6,000. So you can sock away a fair amount of money. And remember, if you can't put away the entire amount, and if your employer does have a matching program, at least make sure that you put away enough to get that match, because that match is free money. You want to get that free money from your employer. And what I tell a lot of my friends, especially the ones at work who are younger, is every dollar you put away in your retirement fund to the IRS, you didn't make that money. That is put in a tax-deferred account, your 401k plan. As far as the IRS knows, you put $10,000 away. You didn't make that $10,000. You didn't get taxed on it now. You get taxed on it when you take it out of your 401k. So it helps you now, and it helps you in the long run for building up savings. If you have an IRA, so you're doing this on your own, the contribution goes from $5,500 to $6,000 for the year. That's the first increase since 2003, so that's good news for savers. And again, if you're 50 and older, you can make a $1,000 catch-up contribution. So it's, and you know, I had somebody, I was writing this, and one of my friends said, oh, $500, what's the big deal? So I did the math using a calculator online. You want to hear the math for this?
Sure.
So put away $500, an extra $500 a year for 30 years, and get an average return of just 5%, and you will have an additional, I wish Dan had a drum roll, but you will have an additional $35,000 for your retirement by just adding $500 a year. It really does. You're making interest on your interest. Compound interest is the key to these savings vehicles.
Okay. By the way, the new maximum for a 401k, you said $1,900. It's 19,000.
19,000.
Right.
Excuse me. It goes from 18,500 to 19,000.
Right.
Good catch. Thank you very much.
Right. I just wanted to make sure people didn't get confused about that.
Right. People drove off the road at Wacker, and we have another traffic jam.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's good. I mean, that's good. I mean, like, you think, you know, I'm glad you did the math on that, because again, $500. You're like, what difference does that make? It makes a big difference.
Right.
Clearly, it makes a big difference.
And on a personal note, I'm semi-retired now, and the key to my wife and my financial future and going to have a nice financial future is that I saved like a son of a gun when I was young, and putting that money away and just putting it away in an IRA and 401k and letting it make interest on the interest on the interest, and just not worrying about the little gyrations here and there. And it's amazing how those things just take care of themselves over time.
Right. Got it. Okay, let's go to number five on your resolutions here.
This is really important, and probably, you know, it's for people who unfortunately are in the government right now and not getting a paycheck, this is one of those critical things. Those who did this are a little better off, which is you got to set up an emergency fund. You've got to have a rainy day fund. You never know when it's going to rain or the government's going to shut down or something's going to happen. You need a new set of tires, the furnace blows out or whatever. According to a survey by the Federal Reserve Board, only 4 in 10 Americans could cover. 4 in 10 Americans could not cover. So 40% of the American public could not cover an emergency expense of $400.
Oh, man.
That barely covers a new set of tires.
Oh, man.
So what you have to do is you've got to set up the emergency fund. It's one of the smartest personal financial decisions you can make. My friend Matthew Frankel at the Motley Fool told me, and you just have to have that there so that if there's a situation that comes up, you don't have to dip into your retirement savings and you don't have to go deeper into debt. And it sounds, the goal everyone suggests, and it sounds undoable, is 6 months of living expenses. I mean, that's the ultimate, if you could get there, that's the ultimate goal they're talking about. But the key is, and Matt said this to me from Motley Fool, don't be intimidated by that impossibly large figure. The goal is, as with everything else in financial savings, just get started. So if you want $1,000 in your emergency fund by the end of 2019, just set up a $40 automatic transfer into your savings account with your biweekly paycheck, and by the end of the year, you will have $1,000 in that savings account. It's smart. Everyone I spoke to said to set up a separate savings account so you're not tempted to touch it when this and that comes up. Oh, I got this money. Should be it. Just open another savings account, and this is going to be your rainy day fund. Again, 40 bucks every biweekly paycheck. You'll have a grand in there by the end of the year, and you'll have that rainy day fund started.
Wow, that's great. Great advice again. All right, move on to number six.
Okay, number six, this is really critical, and this is pay your bills on time. You know that if you pay your bills late, you're going to get hit with needless penalty fees, but more important, your credit score is going to take a beating, and that can have serious consequences because credit scores, good or bad, you know, can affect your ability to get a loan, to rent an apartment. It can make it harder to get wireless phone service or cable service if you have a bad credit score. It could even drive up your cost of insurance in some states. So credit scores are used for all kinds of things these days. Payment history is the number one most important factor used to determine your credit score. And a single late payment of 30 days or more can cause your score to drop by 100 points or more. That is a huge drop, and it can take a long time for that to come back. I had the personal experience. I may have shared this with you. I was changing over computers this year in my home office, and we lost a week's worth of email. And in that email was a $25 credit card chart bill that I owe to Citibank, $25. I missed the payment. I found out about it when they wrote me and said, you're 30 days late on the payment. That late payment got reported to the credit bureaus. My score dropped overnight by 100 points.
Wow.
And I had stellar credit. Now, it's building up over time as I continue to pay on time, and I'm almost halfway back now, but it's amazing how much one late payment can ding your credit score.
Especially, so,
now, of course, I have
a payment is as low as $25.
Because it's not the fact how low it is that you missed the payment.
Yeah,
that's all that's reported
right
to the credit bureau.
Right.
So I now, of course, have in my Outlook, hey, check for the credit card bill.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That will never happen again.
Yeah.
But it's just a personal example. I mean, things happen to all of us, and that's how much that can ding you by paying the bill late. And
wow.
Just one thought I want to share for everybody, but especially for folks listening who are furloughed and are saying, how in the world am I going to pay that credit card bill that comes due? You can help yourself from making a late payment by this one time, make the minimum payment. So if you're one of those furloughed workers, you can't pay your credit card bill in full. If you at least make the minimum payment on time, you pay that bill for that month. So that keeps you from falling in to that penalty situation of having your credit score get dinged, and then you can try to catch yourself up when you get your money from the government or whatever. But that's really important for everybody listening who's in that situation.
Okay. All right. And then finally, your number seven resolve.
Don't overreact to the stock market. You know, if you have money in the stock market, you should not be freaking out when there's volatility. We're in a volatile phase right now. We're going to be in a volatile phase for a while to come. Money you have in the stock market should be money you don't expect to touch for 10 years, so you're not really worried what the market is doing right now. If you have money in the market that keeps you up at night because it's not money you're going to have long-term invested, A, it shouldn't be there in the first place, and B, you better move it someplace else. So just chillax. Don't stress every time you hear another story about the market, because we're going to be going through this for a while, and you're not looking at now, you're looking at way down the road.
Yeah, but it's a little difficult. I mean, it's a little difficult not to react emotionally with what's going on right now, because it's and especially the way they report it, Herb, because it's
every news story. Yeah. When you open up your 401k, you're going to have a nervous breakdown,
right.
You know. But don't. I mean, but just don't, because that's not what these things are. These are long-term savings vehicles, and again, you can adjust the time frame as you're getting closer and closer to retirement. Do what's called a target fund. It'll start putting this into safer investments as you get older and older, and as you get closer to retirement, it'll try to keep your principal by changing the stocks to bonds and that sort of thing. So you can deal with it that way, but don't let every blip and bubble in the market, because you'll do something silly. What happens is you'll do something stupid, you'll try to pull it out, you'll try to time the market, whatever you do, you can't do that, and then you're going to wind up hurting yourself. So just if it's long-term in the market, just let it ride.
Right. Okay. Herb, and by the way, that article you can get at consumerman.com. It's got links on it, and you can read the whole thing and all seven of those resolutions.
Yeah, a lot of links to a lot of sources and on that article as well.
Great. Okay, Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, and his website is consumerman.com. We'll tell you how you can get his newsletter when we come back as well. We got some texts that have come in with questions and concerns, and if you have some, it's 312-981-7200. More with Herb after this. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We are here till 5 a.m. Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. Friday morning, all the regular Friday features are coming up. But right now, we're talking with Herb Weisbaum, Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. And he joins us every month to help you out. And if you have any concerns or questions consumer-related, it's 312-981-7200. Herb, welcome back.
Thank you. My wife just walked in the room and said, "Are you still talking to Nick?" I said, "Absolutely, till the top of the hour."
That's right. So tell everybody how they can get the subscribe to your newsletter, as we do every month.
Sure, it's real easy. Just go to my website, consumerman.com. You'll either get a pop-up that asks you to do it, or you'll see a form on the right-hand side of the page. I don't share. Lend the email to anybody. It's between you and I, and it's totally free, and just to let you keep up with the latest consumer news proactive basis. You don't have to worry about going to the site. It just sort of comes to you every week.
There you go. All right, so get subscribed to that newsletter now. It's free at consumerman.com.
And we always include the Nick DiGilio podcast of the broadcast.
Ah, well, there you go. All right.
Yeah, it's one of my faves.
Oh,
yeah.
I appreciate that, Herb. We got some texts, people asking a question via text here. 773 area code says, "Thankfully, my wife and I are out of credit card debt, but she has some student loans. I say we should pay the minimum since it is low interest rate and use that money towards other things. She had her to tackle all debt first. What do you think?"
Well, experts always tell me that student loan debt is different than other debt. If it's, for instance, a government student loan where the interest rate is low. Now, if it's a private loan and the interest rates are high and it's bogging you down, that may be something to try to get paid off as soon as possible. But if that's one of those things where if you make a steady payment plan and have a goal in mind, you want to have it paid down in 10 years or something like that, that's not as bad as credit card debt. You know, there are certain debts in our lives that are different than others. Mortgage debt is one, and credit and student loan debt is the other. If it's keeping you up at night, it's making you nervous. But yes, if you can take that money and invest it into something, if you have your your rainy day fund, and you can take that money and put it into something that makes a little bit more money, and then just have a plan that you continually pay it off. There's nothing wrong with having that hang on a little bit. It's not like you have to wipe it out real quickly, as long as the rate is low. And if it's a federal loan, you have some federal protections should your life change down the road. If it's high interest rate, then yes, you want to knock it down as soon as possible.
Okay. 847 area code says, hello, when it comes to store receipts, I'd like to take the surveys for a chance to win money and a gift card. I hesitate because if I'm picked as a winner, chances are I won't answer an unknown phone number and won't trust an email that says I won something. What do you think?
Well, I think that if you're going to do that, you're going to get bombarded with mail. They're doing that to put email. They're doing that to put you on their email list, so you should expect to get a lot of marketing materials from these people. And I would only do it if you have what we call a throwaway email, which is another email address. It's not your primary one, and you can use that to do things like contests and sign up online and do that kind of stuff. If they notify you and, you know, if you knew you entered a contest with McDonald's, let's say, and you get a note down the line from McDonald's that you won, you could certainly check it out. There are ways to do it without giving out any personal information, contacting the corporation and finding out if you really did win. But again, in most of these cases, most of that is the hype is to get you to sign up so that they can get you on a mailing list and send you stuff. Maybe you want the coupons or the deals or whatever, not to have, you know, there'll be a winner somewhere, but that's not why you would do one of those things. But you could check it out. If it's not like a contest notice came in out of the blue. If you knew you signed up with Company A and Company A tells you you won, you could contact the company through the legitimate means and find out if you won or not.
Right. And then 773 area code says, one thing I do to keep track of my budget is on my credit card bill, they do a pie chart of what I'm spending on what. It shows you areas where you could be saving.
That's a good idea, and that's why these credit card companies are doing it. Obviously, it doesn't count for your whole family budget because you're obviously not doing everything on a credit card.
Right.
But it's certainly just a good way to sort of get a handle on where you're spending that portion of your budget. It sort of gives you, it's a real good eyeball snapshot of where things are going on. And if that helps, absolutely, that's great. That's why the credit card companies are trying to do that.
There you go.
You know, you might see, wow, I'm eating out more than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you see, that's the value of keeping receipts or tracking what you do. It's the same thing they say for weight loss, keep a diary. It doesn't really hit you over the head until you see it down in writing.
Yeah.
You see it down in writing. Man, did I spent this much for lattes this month? Seriously?
Yeah.
You know, that's where it hits you, you know, between the eyeballs.
Yeah. Okay. And then another piece that you have up on the website is you're warning people about risk-free trial offers.
Yeah, and this was actually a report put together by the Better Business Bureau and the St. Louis BBB and one of your former Federal Trade Commission people there based in Chicago put this together. And it's basically, you've seen the ads, you've heard them all the time. We run them on the radio all the time, and they're on cable and in the Internet. You know, try our revolutionary product risk-free. Just, you know, call now and give us $4.95 for shipping and handling, and there's no other obligation. If you don't like it, there's nothing else to pay. And if you're dealing with a legitimate company that's doing a legitimate product, that may be something you want to do. The problem is if it's an unknown company that's promising a miracle product, it's going to make all the wrinkles disappear, you're going to burn fat while you sleep, your teeth are going to be magically white overnight, what is going to happen is you have to give them your credit or debit card number and to pay for that minor shipping and handling. They do that because then they have your credit and debit card number. And what happens if you're dealing with a scamster is one of a couple of things. Either A, you will get the product and not like it, and then when you get it, you find out that the return window to say, I want to cancel this program, I don't want it, is 2 weeks, and you got it 2 weeks and 5 days, so the risk-free period has already ended. Or you'll find out that you're signed up for other products that you didn't ask for because by agreeing to this and the fine, teeny, tiny print that may be hidden under several links or they don't even bother to tell you, you've agreed to sign up for an ongoing program, maybe cost you $100 a month, and or they may also sign you up for other products they just happen to sell that you didn't know that you signed up for and start billing you $50 to $100 a month. And if you get into one of these things, you can get yourself down a rabbit hole that it's just absolutely crazy. The stuff shows up, you're being billed, you're trying to contact these companies, they're scammers, there's no real way to find them, there's no real way to deal with anything, so you have to finally deal with your credit card company, maybe change the card number. It's a big problem, it's a growing problem. The BBB received nearly 37,000 complaints about free trial offers during the last 3 years.
Wow.
Not every complaint involved money, but those that did, the average loss was $186. That's a sizable amount for a free trial offer.
Yeah.
And to give you an idea of how big the problem is, the Federal Trade Commission did 14 free trial case offers. There are victims for 14 free trial case offers resolved in the last 10 years. And the total value that was lost was $1.3 billion. $1.3 billion. So we're talking about a sizable amount of money here. And the, one of the tricks they use that I point out in the story, and I know we're getting almost out of time,
yeah,
is that they use on the web, they use testimonials and pictures from well-known stars. They use Oprah. They use Dr. Oz. They use Tim Allen. They use various celebrities to say, I've tried this product. It works. Believe me, these people have nothing to do with it. They didn't use it. They steal their pictures. Whoopi Goldberg has been used. Joy Behar, Judge Judy. And they write up these glowing testimonials. And I use this product, and it's totally fake and designed to fool you. Some of these celebrities have actually sued these companies and had their names taken off. But that takes a long, long time. So I guess the bottom line advice, and this is what I wrote at the bottom of the article, I'll just share this with your listeners. Here's my advice. Before you throw caution to the wind and sign up for a little sample of an unknown product that promises you some miraculous results from a company you've never heard of before, ask yourself this simple question. Do I really want to give them my credit or debit card number? Is it really worth the potential hassle? Is this a fake offer? What's going to happen? I think you know the answer. You might think two or three times before you do that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Anytime we talk about topics that are similar to this kind of thing, every time at this time in the morning, every time I look on the screen, there's at least two infomercials happening right now.
Absolutely.
I always find that interesting when we talk about this. I look up and I see free trial offer, right? Those words on the screen right now.
And remember, if you ever order a thing like this, you and I have talked before, you never use your debit card, because if they get your debit card, now they're going to start digging your checking account every month for these bogus products. At least a credit card, you can talk to the credit card company and do something about it. But be really leery. They're growing, and a lot of them are scams. Legitimate company, fine. Company don't know, miraculous product, just avoid it.
Okay. All right, Herb, always a pleasure. You can check them out at consumerman.com, subscribe to the newsletter, and we will talk to you next month.
Thanks, Nick. Have a good January.
All right, buddy. Take care. There you go. Herb Weisbaum. He'll be with us again next month. Check him out at consumerman.com. The news is coming up next. Yeah. Welcome, everybody. How you doing? Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, Skyline studio, here 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday morning, so that means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies. And you big dummy, as we climb the mountain and crown, we get closer and closer to crowning the dummy of the year, the biggest dummy of 2018. And you can help us when the when we do a recap of the winners between April and June of last year. And then Dan will vote, I'll vote for the biggest dummy out of that group, and then you'll vote. You'll be the third vote. And that'll help us get our way to crowning the dummy of the year. That's all coming up a little bit later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Fly Jam Friday requests a little bit later on. So there you go. All right. So we've got some amazing Ivy League classes that you can take online for free this year. And also, I want to talk about unusual courses that you can study at college. And I remember, Dan, this was a while ago. I want to say it was at least 15 years ago when a college, or even maybe even longer than that, when a college was offering a course on Keanu Reeves. Do you remember that?
There you go.
Do you remember that or no?
I do remember that.
I can't remember. I think it was in California. My guess is it would be in California. And it was like the philosophy of Keanu Reeves, according to... and I always thought that that was a, and it was accredited course too. It wasn't, you know, so I'm wondering if anybody out there has heard of or taken some really weird classes, that were legit. And if you ever took those classes or you know of some people who did, or you heard about them, this Keanu Reeves class, I don't remember the description because again, like I said, it was a very long time ago when we talked about this, story and we talked about it on the air. But it was a, I think it was a college, and it was in California that was offering a class to study Keanu Reeves, which of course is a class I would take, considering how much I enjoy the Keanu. He's got a movie coming out today called Replicas. Dan, did you know that 98% on Rotten Tomatoes people want to see it?
I had heard that on the radio the other day.
So if you guys have any any of these weird sort of classes that were available, give us a call, 312-981-7200. But here's...
It was the Arts Center College of Design in Pasadena.
Pasadena. The Arts Center College of Design?
Yep.
Wow. Now, does it say what the curriculum or what the...
It didn't provide the title. It just says it's a comprehensive study of Reeves' work, including goofy teen comedies like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure... to Point Break, students film a few a week, and then I'm required to read a variety of essays with themes that the teacher, Stefan Prima, said tie into the various movies.
That sounds like a fantastic class to me. If you're including Point Break in a college class, that sounds like one of the greatest classes that you could possibly take. Like part of your requirement of going to a class is to watch Point Break. That's like being on vacation. But I remember when they announced this. This was a long time ago. I remember when they announced it. Everybody made a big deal out of it. Oh, this has got to be the worst. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would anybody pay to take a course to talk about Keanu Reeves? Blah 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 blah. But sometimes you know. There are people, and I think a lot of the reason, because we're going to go through some very unusual courses that can be taken, and some cool ones that you can take online for free. But some of the things here, you know, a lot of people find going to school stressful or boring. And so, you know, and you know, it's one of those things where, I have to do this. And then you go and you just, you know, you're not really paying attention and you find it all frustrating and boring and stuff like that. And in order to at least pique somebody's interest or to make someone more interested or excited about actually going to school and studying something, you can create some sort of courses that are legit but make them more fun or make them more inclusive for people who don't really like going to school. So I'm all for that. Considering, I mean, I dropped out of college and I was a terrible student in high school. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that I was easily just like, I don't care about this. There were just a few classes during high school that I thought were great and I was interested in. But for the most part, the majority of the classes I didn't care about. I was just doing it because I had to do it. And I skated by on, you know, as minimal effort as completely possible. But if you could alter... you know, a subject and make it more fun or maybe a little weird, add a little spice to it instead of it just being another class that you're sitting through. I think that's pretty cool. But now, before we get into the weird stuff or the courses that people can take that are insane, and by the way, I want to hear from you at 312-981-7200 for talking text. Here are some 25 amazing Ivy League classes that you can take online for free this year. If you resolved to further your education in 2018, there are plenty of opportunities to do so without leaving home in 2019. Free college courses are abundant online, and the convenience doesn't necessarily mean you have to compromise on quality. For the best tuition-free education the internet has to offer, check out these free Ivy League classes that were compiled by Quartz. The 8 Ivy League schools, Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, Princeton, and University of Pennsylvania, and Yale, offer about 396 free active online courses between them. 396 free courses. While many are cover conventional subjects like marketing, computer science, and Greek mythology, there are plenty of unique classes, including options like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency technologies and the ethics of memory. Many of the courses are self-paced and offer certificates for a fee. That certification may cost between $50 and $100, meaning your class won't technically be free, but it will still be a lot cheaper than attending an in-person lecture at Harvard. So the following are 25 notable free classes being offered by the Ivy League universities this year, and these are free, and you can check them out online. So we mentioned Bitcoin and cryptocurrency technologies. That's offered by Princeton. I don't understand that at all. You know who actually, Dan... I was completely in the dark on the whole Bitcoin thing and the cryptocurrencies, but like many things that I've been illuminated about, it was through John Oliver. John Oliver, you know, because do you ever watch? You don't have HBO, right?
I don't.
Okay, John Oliver's show is, it's, you know, I mean, there are 9,000 like fake news show. Well, I don't mean to, that's now a completely different term. But, you know, like comedy news shows with a guy sitting behind a desk making fun of Trump or making fun of the current news and, you know, doing satire and stuff. But what makes John Oliver's show different is that he does a couple of quick bits at the beginning, a couple of quick stories, and then the rest of the show for a good 20, 25 minutes is dedicated to one topic. And it's exhaustive what he and his writers do in terms of research and how thorough it is and how brilliant and, on top of that, hilarious. So there's a reason why John Oliver wins all the awards, because his staff is brilliant and he's great at it. And the topic, you know, when he chooses a topic, man, you're going to learn something. Like, you're going to watch this show and you're going to laugh your ass off. But when it's over, you learn something. And I do every Sunday when I watch that show. Whatever the big topic is, the 20, 25-minute segment, the big topic, when it's over, I'm like, wow. He did a full-on 25-minute thing about cryptocurrency. And when it was over, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm still confused, but now I see where it came from, why people do it, and how many there are now. Like, he talked about many crypto. Have you seen some of these cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, they're pretty
funny. People are just making stuff up. But that's something you can learn at Princeton University. I bet they, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if you take that online, that segment is going to be part of the, a part of what you do while you're online. They'll say, hey, here's a link to the John Oliver segment about cryptocurrency. And so, yeah, but I just, you know, I'm enlightened every time I watch that show, in addition to just really laughing. And the other thing about that separates John Oliver's show from a lot of the other ones is that he's on HBO, so he gets to swear. Like, he can drop F-bombs, he can say whatever he wants to say, he can get very adult. And that also frees it up, too. I love that show. I think Last Week Tonight is just absolutely brilliant. I really do. And I think the structure is really awesome, and it's smart. And again, uncensored, which I think also adds to why it's so good and why it's funny. Anyway, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency technologies offered from Princeton. You have artificial intelligence, AI, offered by Columbia University. AI, that's a scary thing, man. I don't know why I'm, artificial intelligence, I'm telling you, man, I've seen Terminator 2 too many times. I got to tell you. I saw this footage. Was it on one of the late night shows? They were talking about the Consumer Electronics Show just opened Thursday in Vegas, and so they were talking about it. I think it was Trevor Noah on the Daily Show at some point earlier this week, and they were like, the Consumer Knowledge Electronics Show has started, and this is where you can see the future and consumer in incredible gadgets and incredible technology on display. And then they showed footage of a driverless car that sideswiped a robot trying to cross the street. Did you see this?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
It was really hilarious. It was like, well, here's your technology at work right there. There's a driverless car just mowing down a robot trying to mind his own business. And the footage is hysterical. It really is, because the car just, and the robot just gets hit and just goes, bang, hits the ground. Yeah, see, artificial intelligence, I'm a little frightened by that. And the whole driverless car thing, we've talked about this with Tom Appel. It's freaky to have the help, like when what do they call that now? Where the steering wheel, it drives by itself for a little while.
Autonomous driving.
Yeah, that's freaky enough. Like, if you're driving a car and all of a sudden the wheel starts to move in the direction that you're not moving it, I would never be able to get used to that. So, we have some weird classes coming up. 312-981-7200. We're talking about great Ivy League classes that you can take online, some of which are unusual, and then some really weird courses that you can study at college. And if you have studied or know of some strange courses, 312-981-7200. Here's Steve in Galesburg on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, in 1983, I moved out to L.A. I got a scholarship for Otis Parsons Art Institute, and one of the electives was Introduction to Southern California Psychedelic Ornamental Horticulture.
That's pretty specific, Steve.
Yeah, I had to sit and write it. I was telling Dan I had to sit and write it down several times before. Yeah, I could be wrong about it, but that, you know, it was that that gender.
Yeah, no, that doesn't. I mean, that doesn't sound far fetched at all to me, Steve. Because you know, there are very, very weird and very, very offbeat and very, very specific courses that you can take that are offered all over the place, and that sounds like a legit one to me. So,
I didn't elect it.
Yeah, you didn't take it though.
No.
Okay.
Okay, but no, you struck a nerve though.
Okay, all right, Steve. Thank you, sir. All right, take care. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump back into this. Some amazing Ivy League classes that you can take for free online and unusual or weird classes that have been offered over the years. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. We're also going to get back to talking about, we'll finish off talking about the most creative and memorable and best logos for corporations and products. But right now we are talking about some amazing Ivy League classes that you can take online for free this year, and also some unusual courses that are offered, some weird ones and some really out there ones. Dan, did they offer any kind of unusual electives and courses when you were in school?
Nothing too crazy, but I did see that they offered various classes in weightlifting and aerobics. And I always debated whether to take those just to see what it was like.
Yeah.
You know, because I did a lot of work with the sports department. And so I just kind of wonder, like, all right, well, you know, who would teach that class? Would it be our strength, you know, coach? You know, I did see when I would take various, like, college, it was two girls to guy ratio. So, you know, a majority of my friends were girls. So they would, you know, be like, I'll give you, you know, my partner can't come to the aerobics today and I'm going to lose money if I don't bring somebody. So come with me. So I'd go and I'd see male and female athletes, you know, there doing these classes with them. Cause, you know, the thing we'd always talk about is, you know, it's not yoga. It's stretching. It's not aerobics. It's calisthenics. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's just a different name.
Yeah.
On it. So, but I never ended up taking them. But I always debated.
But you sat in on a couple.
Yeah,
of them.
Yeah.
What were the classes? What do they consist of?
Well, so I didn't sit on those specific.
Oh, I see.
So, but you know, I could see them being classes for athletes.
Got it.
That type of situation.
Yeah. And, I mean, and that just seems like, doesn't that seem like just a sort of like an exercise class?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But they were 1 hour credits. So it did count towards your college, you know, your overall goal, mm-hmm. which I also thought was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Did anybody take the Keanu class? I want to hear from you if you did. 312-981-7200. Let's get back to some of these Ivy League classes that you can take. And these are free and you can take them online. Animation and CGI motion. That's offered from Columbia University. That would be fun. That'd be a fun class to take. The Global Financial Crisis. That's offered from Yale University. That sounds like a real uplifting class. Crowdfunding. Ooh. Class from University of Pennsylvania on crowdfunding. There's a lot of that nowadays, you know? I mean, everybody's doing crowdfunding now. But you can learn how to do it correctly from the University of Pennsylvania online. Viral marketing and how to craft contagious content. That's from the University of Pennsylvania as well. So they've got one class on crowdfunding and then one class on viral marketing and how to craft contagious content. It'll help you out, man. How about this? Yale University offering moralities of everyday life. That sounds interesting. That's a relatable one right there. The moralities of everyday life. Although everyday life for someone in Yale is, it might be a little bit different than everyday life for someone who's not at Yale. I think the measurement of what's everyday life is a little different. Harvard University offers the ancient Greek hero. Harvard University also offers visualizing Japan 1850s through 1930s, Westernization, protest, and modernity. Cornell offers American capitalism, a history. These are all free, by the way. You can take them online. Harvard University offers science and cooking, from haute cuisine to soft matter science, part one. Now, that sounds fantastic to me. Science and cooking, Harvard University. You know, that's one of the reasons why I used to love to watch Good Eats with Alton Brown, before Alton Brown became a kind of an unequivocal jerk. You know, back in the day when I would watch Good Eats, I loved Alton Brown. And that's pretty much what he did. He combined science and cooking and made it very entertaining and very funny. But then as years went by, Alton Brown became a jerk. Like whenever he was on any other show, or, you know, like even on Iron Chef America, or like if he was a judge on any of those shows on the Food Network or a host, he was always a jerk, like a real condescending jerk. But I loved Good Eats. Did you ever watch Good Eats, Dan?
No, I have not.
Alton Brown, back in the day, you know, that show started like in, I want to say, the late 90s. It had been on a really long time, and he didn't turn into a jerk until about 5-6 years ago. So I was like, what the hell happened to Alton Brown? I used to love that guy, but he's such a jerk. But he would combine science and cooking, and it was really a lot of fun, you know. And they had like great graphics and weird sketches that they would do, and he would show why, what would happen to, let's say, if you're cooking a piece of salmon or something, what actually happens scientifically to the skin when it's seared and all that stuff, and like, you know, the silence of the science of like steaming something and whatever it was. He would cook it. He would also have like really cool recipes, so you can cook them at home. And he didn't make it. He's a nerd. You know, he's got the glasses. He's all nerded out, and he played that up big time when he was on Good Eats. But he'd have charts, and he would do. You know, he would give you numbers and scientific facts and all kinds of cool stuff. And then he'd make like a cool dish. And they're fun. They're fun shows. I mean, I know they show in reruns, I think, on not the Food Network, the Cooking Channel. The Cooking Channel, I know that you can probably find them on YouTube, but they're very entertaining and actually, again, pretty enlightening. But that sounds like a cool class, science and cooking. That sounds cool. That's offered from Harvard. Harvard also offers Power and Responsibility, Doing Philosophy with Superheroes. Oh, that's cool. That's another one. That's a pretty cool one. You learn about their power and responsibility and philosophy with superheroes. Wow. So that obviously, the title of that class comes from Spider-Man. That's out of Harvard. Harvard, again, offering Super Earths and Life. Harvard, another one from Harvard. Women Making History, 10 Objects, Many Stories. Again, these are all free, and they're all available online right now. So, yeah. And then Harvard University also says offers modern masterpieces of world literature. Well, modern masterpieces, I would hope that it's not the stuff, Dan, that we had to read when we were in high school, because that wouldn't be. Yeah, I mean, because we had to read a lot of modern masterpieces when we were in high school or grade school even. So,
but it would be interesting to hear a Harvard Yale professor talk about them.
True.
You know, because there's, you know, that the infamous Harold Bloom was the Shakespeare guy, and he definitely has a different perspective on the Shakespeare after, you know, you read him in high school.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're right. I mean, if you get a Harvard perspective. Yeah.
But yeah, then it would be interesting to have them, you know, do something more recent that, you know, you might not have never heard of, and
right,
somebody who has that stature be able to be like, well, this is why this rules, and it was made 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, if there was a class that you could take, because I think one of the greatest works of art of the 20th century is Don DeLillo's Underworld. I think it's one of the greatest books ever written. I mean, truly, one of the greatest works of art of the 20th century, and that's a book that should be studied. I really think that is a book. Is it possible to look up to see if Don DeLillo's Underworld is part of a class or something like that, or of a course or something? Because it should be, if it's not. All right, we got a break, because the news is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich is at 5 with the opening bell. The great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features are coming up, you big dummy, as we climb the mountain to crown Dummy of the Year. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. We'd love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. Right now we're talking about some of these great Ivy League classes and unusual Ivy League classes that you can take online, and these are free. And then we're going to jump into, we've been also talking about some really unusual or weird classes or courses that were that are available as well that people have taken. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We'd love to hear from you if you know of any of these weird classes or you took something unusual. 312-981-7200. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Morning.
Hey, before I get to my college class, Elton Brown update. He's back and he's normal again. He's got he does a show now called Good Eats Reloaded, and it's on Food Network's sister channel, Cooking Channel.
Oh, it's on the Cooking Channel. Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. What he does is he takes old episodes, like really early ones, and he shows the episode, and then he'll stop it, and then now in today, the current Elton Brown will come and say, "This is wrong. I got this wrong, and I didn't like the way I cooked this," and he'll update the recipes and stuff. It's really neat.
Oh, that's
and he's
cool.
Also making, yeah, and he's also making new Good Eats. He talks about it. He's like a refilm, you know. So there's going to be new Good Eats, and he is back to normal.
Do you agree with me that he became like a real annoying jerk for a good portion?
Absolutely. I'm a chemist, and I love to cook. So Good Eats was my favorite show on TV.
Yeah, it still is.
And he got caught up in when Food Network went into no more cooking and all competitions and things. He got caught up in that, I think.
Yeah.
Which is why Emerald is not around. I just read an interview with Emerald. He's like, "No, I told they wanted him to do some of that stuff." And he's like, "No, I cook. I show people how to cook."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the college course, though, as I told Dan, I've never taken it, but several universities I've heard around the country offer either in like philosophy or theology courses on The Simpsons.
I've heard that. Yeah, that's right.
And like in theology, it's like, oh my, these people are also broken and flawed and mean, but in the end, you know, in the end, it always works out, and they're really good people. So I guess there's a bunch of Simpsons classes, which that'd be kind of cool to take.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would take a Simpsons class, and I remember that popped up not too long. Or that popped up a pretty long time. Those have been available for a long time.
Yeah, I think so. There's a book too. Maybe you might even have the author on it a long time ago. Maybe.
I think it's like the philosophy of the Simpsons or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, Carrie. So, thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
All right. Yeah, Dan. Those classes, the Simpsons classes, have been around for a long time.
Sure.
Because the show's been on forever, so there's plenty to choose from. But there is, you know, I mean, there are life lessons to be had from, you know, The Simpsons, especially that stretch where it was the best show ever. I'm assuming that a lot of colleges offer courses studying television shows. I would imagine that, like,
sure.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like an All in a Family class that people could take, because that movie, that show was so socially conscious and was about that time period. Like, you could get history lessons out of that, and political lessons for sure from that.
And to go back to your previous point, Kansas State did offer a course on Don DeLillo for a while.
Oh, they did?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, Don DeLillo, one of the best writers of all time. I remember, because I mean, Underworld's not Underworld's not a light read. It's also not light in physical form as well, because it's like an 1,200 page book. It's an 800 page book, I should say. It's a monster undertaking. I mean, it's so worth it. I mean, it's so worth it. And I remember when the book came out. I want to say it was 97, I think. 96, 97. There was a review in the Reader. They did a review of it. I can't remember who wrote the review.
97.
I can't remember who wrote the review, but like I read like a two paragraphs in, and I was like, I didn't want to read the rest of the review because I'm sure that they would have gotten into, you know, giving stuff away. But just the how glowing the first two paragraphs were, I was like, well, I got to at least give them. And I was familiar with DeLillo's writing, But then, I mean, I'll never forget it. I mean, it was funny. I was married to my first wife at the time, and she was reading it at the same time I was. We had two copies. She was reading it at the same time I was. She finished it first. And everybody I knew, you know, was reading it at the time. Like, we were all, like, talking about this book, and it became, like, all-encompassing. Like, I was with the Factory Theater at the time, and, like, 80% of the people at the Factory were reading DeLillo's Underworld. And everybody was just like, oh, my God. And then one of my best buddies at the time was a guy named Jim, who bartended at Simon's and who was a voracious reader and still is. Reads books all the time. And they used to call him Reading Jim. I'm not making it up. He's the guy, Dan. Jim is the guy from Pittsburgh who, if he gets a pizza delivered and it's cut squares, he sends it back. That's the guy. That's the same guy. Because he thinks it's ridiculous that pizza is cut in squares. And he's from Pittsburgh. So anyway, it was all we were talking about, literally, for like a month. That was what everybody was talking about. It took me like almost a month to read the book to get through it, because it's just such a massive undertaking. But it's so breathtaking and so amazing in scope and ideas and philosophy and thoughts. And it's also really entertaining to read. And the characters are three-dimensional and the situations are fantastic. I can't recommend that book highly enough. I actually bought you a copy. Didn't I buy you a copy?
Yeah, you did.
Because for my friends and, you know, I can't tell you the number of times I've purchased that book. I've purchased Underworld for people for birthdays or Christmas. Every girl that I've dated since 1997, I've purchased a copy of Underworld for. And, you know, it's just great. And that's a book, again, that can be studied, which is what we're talking about here. We're talking about some classes that that are unusual or strange or cool. And some of the classes that are absolutely available from Ivy League schools, and these are free. You can take them online. Everyone that I've mentioned so far from these Ivy League classes are free. So let's see. We've got from Brown University, they offer The Ethics of Memory. That sounds interesting. Princeton offers Buddhism and Modern Psychology. University of Pennsylvania, Designing Cities. Yale offers America's Written Constitution. These are all free. Harvard University offers Lessons from Ebola, Preventing the Next Pandemic. University of Pennsylvania offers The History of Medieval Medicine Through Jewish Manuscripts. Whoa, that sounds interesting and very specific. Wow. Yale University, The Science of Well-Being. Yale University offers for free Everyday Parenting, The ABCs of Child Rearing. Dartmouth offers The Introduction to Italian Opera. And then finally, Yale offers Music and Social Action. That sounds cool. That sounds really cool. Because, you know, a lot of social action came through music. Music has been a big part of protest and free speech and history. So that's cool. And that's offered from Yale. So there's 25 of them. But as I mentioned before, there are 396 free active online courses that you can take offered by 8 of the Ivy League schools. And you can find more free online offerings from the Ivies and other top schools. You can go to Class Central. So if any of those sound intriguing to you, they're all free. You can find them all at Class Central. There's a lot of the big offers are available at Class Central. So a lot of these sound really interesting. I like the power and responsibility doing philosophy with superheroes. Doesn't that one sound good, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, kind of. It's interesting. Obviously, the world of fiction allows a way to view the modern world and the current world, and
right.
You know, in a world where it's black and white, and it's just a bad guy who you can punch down. You know, how does that relate to the current world in those situations? And then, obviously, where villains are just a shade different from the heroes in a lot of circumstances in the comic world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now there's so much to, you know, so much material for that. You know what I mean? If you take a course on superheroes now, I mean, there's new material every week. I mean, that's been the case with comic books for sure, but now, like, all media It's just, you know, comic books and superheroes. Superheroes dominate television. They dominate. They certainly dominate the movies. And there are lessons to be learned from a lot of these superhero movies. I mean, there's a superhero movie coming out next week. It's Glass, M. Night Shyamalan's new one. You know, it's 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Oh boy!
I knew it was. I knew as soon as Split made money. You know, and I really like Split. It's the only M. Night Shyamalan movie I like. Until the final shot, when it became a sequel to Unbreakable, I was like, okay, you got to be kidding me. As soon as that movie made a lot of money and got some acclaim and people were excited because a lot of people, and I know you included, a lot of people, especially comic book fans, really like Unbreakable. And so when they found out that it was in fact a sequel to Unbreakable, I knew as soon as that got into his head that he was going to go nuts on this movie. You know what I mean? As soon as he was going to Shyamalan this one, you know, this one big time. And I looked at the running time, I'm like, yeah, that was like a little clue. Because Split's like 1 hour and 45 minutes long. And I don't think Unbreakable's over 2 hours. You know, I don't think it, but this is like 2 hours, 10 minutes, because he's going to go all out. It's like, oh, you like that? Watch this. I am going to Shyamalan the hell out of this movie. By the way, I don't mean that in a positive way. So, okay, everybody hang on. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about unusual courses that you can study at universities. Are there other courses that you have studied, that your friends have studied, that you think are weird or maybe crazy? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Some phone lines are open if you want to get in here. We'll take your calls and your texts. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features will be coming up. We're also going to conclude talking about the big popular and most memorable logos of all time for products and for corporations. That's all coming up. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay, right now we've been talking about free classes from Ivy League schools that are available online, and also talking about unusual classes, some weird classes that were available at universities. And I've got a list here of some very unusual courses and classes. And if you guys have taken anything weird, or know of any strange classes or unusual ones, 312-981-7200. We got some texts coming in, and we got some phone calls. Here's Adam from Rockford on WGN. Hi, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Nick.
Yeah, man.
Just to really quickly preface this, I want to say it seems like they're putting a lot of promo for Glass, and I honestly think it's going to be a decent movie, but I just think there's a lot of promo being done for this thing, and anytime I see that, I think it's always going to be a stinker of a movie. Anyway, the stuff kind of at hand. The reason that I called is that my sister had taken a class when she was going to Illinois for a semester, and it was basically like the film and writing comparison between, and also just some of the literature from Bret Easton Ellis. Excuse me, I'm driving. And it was really, really interesting to me because I'm a really, really big Bret Easton Ellis fan. Obviously, there's, you know, these have been forayed into, you know, pretty decent movies, I guess. Rules of Attraction, you know, Less Than Zero, American Psycho, I guess they were decent. Do you think that any of these courses now that people are actually able to access for free, are these things that you're being able to get any type of accreditation for? I mean, what is the deal with any of that stuff? And thanks for having me on, man.
All right, take care. There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's not, you don't get like, you get a certificate is what they said, but not like actual accreditation.
Right, you're basically auditing the class.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're doing. All right, here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hi. I was telling Dan that I took some classes that, actually, you would probably like them. One was a film class that was the history of American cinema.
Mm.
And we literally went from silent film all the way to, I don't remember how far we went to today, but like I remember we watched like Taxi Driver and There's a couple other more like 70s and 80s films and stuff, but they actually did lecture a little bit, and then we might spend a day or two just watching a movie, and then they discuss it again. And
yeah,
and there was, and like the shorter stuff from like the 30s, like, you know, we'd watch some Laurel and Hardy or Three Stooges movies, you know, which are, some could only be like 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
So we'd like watch three or four of them, and then be like, all right, class is over. And then
yeah,
next day, talk about some more stuff. And then another one was literary dimensions in film, which basically we would read like a novel or something. Like we read Frankenstein and then watch two or three versions of Frankenstein and compared them all to the book.
Yeah.
Or screenplays or anything like that, and then compared them. And then as far as like Dan was talking, the like gym classes, workout classes,
right,
and stuff,
right,
I took a couple of those, and they were taught by like coaches and stuff. I took a strength conditioning class that was either the head soccer coach or assistant soccer coach taught it, and then all he did was basically, it was like going to the gym. You just had to turn in that you actually worked out, like what you did that day, how many reps and stuff. And then, and I even took some, I was going to take coaching classes, which they had, and they were taught by the football staff. Like, I went to Central Michigan at the time. Brian Kelly was the coach, and it was his staff taught all the classes, you know, we watch their game film and actually analyze their guys playing and stuff. And it was actually pretty cool classes. Wow. But, you know, it was, and like Dan said, you know, I kind of poked my head in the first time, a couple times before I even took any. And yeah, there were athletes in some of those classes that, you know, they were just taking them just to take them anyways.
Right.
And get credit.
Right. Well, that's a good way to get, you know, your credits that you need, especially if you know, cause I was, like I said, I was a terrible student. I would probably take the easiest class. I remember like an idiot. Steve, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 312-9981-7200. Dan, like an idiot. My junior year, I took trig, dropped out after one quarter. And then went to a wood shop, or metal shop. Sorry, it was metal shop. I mean, I took wood shop also, but I was like, I can't. I like one quarter of trig. I was like, I no idea what the hell is happening. Why did I take this class? And the teacher was like, get out. I have no idea. At the beginning of the year, I'm like, all right, I'll take trig. That's cool. And I'm terrible at math. I'm awful at math. I hated algebra. Geometry, I wasn't terrible at. Didn't like trig. I don't even know what the hell it is. You took trig, I would imagine.
I did, yeah.
Oh, my God. You just take a, just imagine a younger, dumber, if that's possible, dumber me, not having any math skill or interest in math whatsoever, deciding to take trig. Idiot. Yeah, the teacher was like, just go to a metal shop. Go downstairs, go down in the basement with the other idiots. Sod or something.
My version of that was I tested into trig, I believe, for college.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, you know, but I didn't have to take it. I could have taken statistics, and statistics actually would have benefited me more because of my work with the sports department.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I didn't realize it until I was like halfway into the trig, and I was like, oh, man, dumb.
301 area code. You can text in anytime you want. 312-981-7200. When I was in college, I took a course on Frankenstein and Dracula in radio, TV, and film. Oh, cool. See, that's a class. I would excel in that class. Tim says, I attended the University of Iowa from 93 to 97, and there was a communications and theater. I was a communications and double theater major. One of the theater classes I took was something like effective breathing. Pretty much meant that all the students would lay on floor mats and focus on breathing and general self-awareness. In college, I was also a scholarship swimmer with morning and afternoon practices with that class in between. It might as well have been called effective napping. Oh, hold on a minute now.
All right.
Effective breathing. Marsha in Maryville says, in high school, I took a class called Music as Expression. It was part of the English curriculum. Well, we studied the Beatles song A Day in the Life, The Who's Tommy, and songs by Bob Dylan. I loved English that semester. That sounds cool. That's cool. I mean, especially for a high school class, you know? We didn't really have a film study class in high school. We talked about film and a couple of things. The only sort of film study class that we had was when the coaches would run the religion class and we'd watch Godspell 15 times and Jesus of Nazareth. That was the closest we got to film class. Was like when the football coach would go, all right, we're going to learn about all kinds of stuff today. Here's Godspell. I'll be in the teacher's lounge smoking. We'd see Godspell 900 times a day, 900 times a week. And like I said before, the best one for the teachers was Jesus of Nazareth, because that was a mini series. That meant like almost the entire semester we would be watching. You know, the class was only about 40 minutes long, so, or a half an hour or 40 minutes long or something. So that's like one third of the mini series. So I saw Jesus of Nazareth like 73 times. Oh, man. Memorize the books of the Bible. We'll watch Jesus and Nazareth tomorrow. See you later. That's how I learned about religion, Dan. That's what I know about it. All right. The news is coming up after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. That means Fly Jams Friday coming up later on. You can get your requests in later. DJ Sugar will be happy to play them for you. And we've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and much more on this Friday morning. We are also going to talk, we were talking a little bit about this earlier, the most famous or the best, most memorable corporate logos or product logos of all time. This started because of a MasterCard decision that MasterCard is going to make to keep the logo of the two circles that are together, but get rid of the word MasterCard, because people will be able to identify MasterCard as MasterCard without the word and just those two circles, because it's such a memorable logo. And that's what we were going to finish up, because we had so many of them to talk about. We're going to finish that up this morning. Let's see. We got a couple of texts. Terry says, Nick, have you read White Noise by Don DeLillo? Yes, I have, and it's terrific. Brian says, I got my bachelor's of fine arts in graphic design from UIC. I had to have an English elective to graduate. The one I took was titled Chicago Graffiti and Its Influence on Local Media. All right. That's pretty cool. Here are some unusual courses that are actually for real that you can study. How about, Dan, would you study puppet arts?
No.
Wow, that was a definitive no.
Be creepy, man.
Puppet arts, and this is at the University of Connecticut. The university offers several programs, and the graduates go on to design and perform some of the world's best known theaters, television shows, film schools, museums, and beyond. It also has an on-campus museum named after master puppeteer Frank W. Ballard, also responsible for starting the puppetry classes there. That, of course, reminds me of the sketch they've done a couple of times on SNL, where a group of people are taking a class to design their own character and their own puppet and learn how to do puppetry. And Bill Hader is a war veteran who designs a puppet that looks exactly like him, and just does nothing but talk about how all of his buddies were killed, and he was doing like very serious, terrifying, you know, a war flashback as his puppet. It's hysterical. They did it twice, two different times. But yeah, that, you know, puppet arts. As soon as that came out, I was like, okay. How about bagpiping? Oh, not seen there. That's got to be an entertaining class to take right there. That's at Carnegie Mellon. My friend Allison Kane went to Carnegie Mellon. I'm going to ask her if she took bagpiping. That's where George Romero went to school. You know the story about Carnegie Mellon, right?
I do. Yes.
That it's infested with cotton. It was at least when my friend. My friend Allison went there, but this would have been in the late 80s when she went there. because there's a sequence in Creepshow. The final story in Creepshow is E.G. Marshall in his pristine apartment, and he's invaded by thousands and thousands of cockroaches. And when they made the movie, they actually imported these cockroaches from all over the world. So they had these big giant ones that you find in jungles around the world and domestic ones. And then just like all kinds of just like it's really one of the creepiest things that you'll ever see in your life. And so they kept the cockroaches at Carnegie Mellon in the basement at Carnegie Mellon. And then the Carnegie Mellon, the basement became infested with cockroaches after they got rid of the roaches. But you can take bagpiping to drown out the sounds of people screaming because the cockroaches are freaking them out. The university has been offering a 4-year degree course in bagpipe performance for over 75 years, and the art is an important part of the university's heritage thanks to its Scottish roots. Carnegie Mellon also offers has its own pipes and drums band made up entirely of current students and alumni. Well, I didn't know that. Did not know it had a history, a Scottish history. How about this class? This is a class you can take in Scotland. Speaking of Scotland and Abertay University in Scotland, you can take ethical hacking. The course conditions the students to think like a hacker and provides detailed understanding of computer security issues to defend against malicious attacks. So ethical hacking. So basically it's a defensive thing that you can a class that you can take. That's in Scotland. Liverpool Hope University in the UK. Now, Dan, when I say Liverpool Hope University, what do you think the class is going to be about if I say Liverpool Hope University?
Liver sausage.
That's right. No, it would be about the Beatles. The Beatles, popular music and society. This MA program uses the Beatles as the case study in exploring the role popular music has played over the past 50 years. You don't necessarily just, you know, that could be a class that you could take worldwide, you know. But it would be cool to take it in Liverpool. That's probably the coolest place to take that class would be in Liverpool. All right. Staffordshire University in the UK has David Beckham studies. What? If you plan to study sociology, sports science, or media studies at Staffordshire University, you may come across a module on David Beckham. The iconic English soccer player makes it to textbooks as a means to examine the rise of the sport from its folk origins in the 17th century to the central place it occupies in British culture. Okay, I guess historically that's going to make sense. I don't know, I just thought you were going to study...
So that's just soccer class, and they just wanted kids to get into it. Yeah. So they called David Beckham class.
David Beckham. And by the way, what's his Posh Spice might stop by? It's Posh Spice, right? Victoria?
Yes, she was posh.
She was posh. Okay. How about this? A diploma in auctioneering. The Harrisburg Area Community College offers this. The course promises to prepare students in arranging and conducting auctions, develop required techniques, procuring merchandise, and develop auction chants. Oh, so you can go, hey, blah, 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 blah. See, I've already got it. I don't even need to go.
I thought you were the teacher there.
That's right. Here's one. In Oakland, California, the Oaksterdam University offers cannabis cultivation. Hey, speaking of cannabis cultivation, if anybody watched the masked Singer the other night, the person that they revealed, the singer who had to reveal himself, pulled off the big pineapple head he had on, and it was, of course, Tommy Chong. That show rules. The Masked Singer. It's the stupidest, most ridiculous show on television right now, and I love it. And it keeps getting more... Tommy Chong sang, I Will Survive with a Pineapple Face. That's why the show is fantastic. Anyway, cannabis cultivation. The course at Oaksterdam University in Oakland trains students about the irrigation and cultivation of cannabis, besides teaching the legalities involved in its growth and consumption. Yeah. Uh-huh. You're going to put that to good use when you get out of school. How about turf and golf course management? That's, by the way, it's taught by Bill Murray, from what I understand. The University of America of Maryland College of Agricultural and Natural Resources. This certificate course provides a unique combination of soil and plant science, irrigation and drainage, business and entrepreneurship courses that aim to prepare students for a career in the golf and turf industries. And finally, this would be required. This would be a required class if I were in charge of any school. That is Media Genres Zombies. This is the University of Baltimore. Now, why is that not at Carnegie Mellon? How is that class not offered at Carnegie Mellon? What are we talking about here? This course explores the use of zombies in pop culture. It's one of the few universities offering such a course. Why? Seriously, I'm not joking around. Zombie movies, especially the work of George Romero, are really socially significant and have a lot to say about society. You could get tons of courses. You could do an entire course on just Dawn of the Dead alone. This is a great. I actually think that, and I'm being totally serious here. I think a zombie college course would be great because they symbolize so much. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but I would take that course. Everybody go to University of Baltimore right now. You know, enrollment's going to go up 9,000 right now because people heard that they offer a zombie course. Or at least my listeners are excited that they offer a zombie course. Don't know how excited everybody else is about it, but... All right. Well, there you go. Those are some courses that are unusual and some courses that you can take for free online. And when we come back... The 50 most iconic brand logos of all time. We'll pick that up where we left off and talk about some of your favorite logos. What about you guys? What are the most memorable, the most iconic, the best logos for products and corporations? 312-981-7200. We'll jump back into that topic as we talked about earlier in the week. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday morning, so all the Friday features are coming up. And we are on our way to crowning the Dummy of the Year. We will continue to read the winners from each week through April through June from last year until we have some finalists, and then we will finally vote on the Dummy of the Year. So you big dummies coming up in a little bit. We were talking about the most iconic brand corporation logos of all time and some of the ones that we were talking about. And I, of course, you know, Dan, you said the first one that came to your mind was Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Apple was one. And, of course, the McDonald's arches are an iconic logo. And then we were actually talking about the logos of movie studios and production companies and stuff. And we were covering a bunch of memorable logos that you can picture immediately, and you know exactly what the product or the thing that it is. So I want to get back to this because these are a lot of fun. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 with logos that immediately come to mind for products or for corporations that you think are really cool and memorable. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, next up is Bayer Aspirin. The company was founded in 1863. The logo was introduced in 1881 by Hans Schneider. In 1904, Bayer introduced the now iconic Bayer Cross logo, designed by a Bayer employee, Hans Schneider. The logo of Bayer was written horizontally and vertically with an intersection at the Y. Initially, the company logo was only imprinted on the aspirin tablets produced by the company rather than being used in the marketing or packaging, but it remains in use to this day and is a key element in the brand's image. Yeah, it's stamped on every aspirin. The old Bayer cross. You can see it on every aspirin. I have a bottle of Bayer aspirin on my nightstand at home, and it's got the Bayer aspirin logo right there. That's a memorable one right there. Hans Schneider. He was just a guy who worked there. Hey, I got an idea. Let's write Bear this way and Bear that way and put it together. 3M. The company was founded in 1902. The logo was introduced in 1906. The logo designer was Gerald Stahl and Associates and Siegel and Gale. The first 3M logo was introduced in 1906, and it featured a black diamond shape inside two rings. The outer band read Minnesota Mining and MFG Company, while the black diamond shape had 3M Co. written diagonally and horizontally. In 1978, 3M introduced the red bold logo, which remains in use to this day. Company was removed, and only 3M remained to represent the brand. Here's one that we see all the time. AT&T. That's a pretty cool logo. The company was founded in 1877. The logo was introduced in 1889. Saul Bass was the logo designer. Wow. AT&T originated the Bell Telephone Company as the Bell Telephone Company in 1877, becoming American Telephone Company and Telegraph in 1885 after a number of mergers. Nonetheless, the telephone system covering the United States was known as the Bell System and was operated by a number of companies effectively known as the Bell Operating Companies. Thus, from 1889 to 1964, the AT&T logo incorporated an illustration of a bell. When the Bell System was broken up in 1983, the AT&T Bell logo was replaced with an illustration of a layered globe that was designed by Saul Bass. The globe went through a number of transformations in 2000 before becoming the current iconic 3D transparent globe with the accompanying lowercase AT&T. That happened in 2005. Yeah, I remember the Bell logo big time. You know, when we used to get our phone bill, there it was. there it was, asking for money. Here's another logo, Audi. The company was founded in 1909. The logo was introduced in 1909. The four iconic interlaced rings, which are now symbolic of Audi, did not come into existence until 1932, when Audi merged with DKW, Horch and Wanderer, to cut costs in reaction to the Depression. The rings were meant to symbolize the unity of the companies, which also comprised the new Auto Union AG. And in 1965, the company was rebranded under the name Audi, following an acquisition by the Volkswagen Group. Even though between 1978 and 1992, the rings were removed from the logo, they were still featured on the front grille of all of the Audi cars. For its centennial celebration in 2009, Audi redesigned its logo type for the first time in 90 years for a sleeker, more modern image. Here's one, Barbie. 1959, Barbie was a subset of Mattel, which was formed in 1945. And the logo was introduced in 1959. The logo designer has been undisclosed. The bright pink Barbie logo has never strayed far from its original design, with only slight alterations of shading or shape in the past 50 years to adjust to trends. In 2009, Barbie returned to its original logo in celebration of the 50th anniversary, adding a rondelle incorporating the profile of Barbie with a ponytail. How about this? Chiquita Banana. This is a classic. A classic. It's the Chiquita Banana. It's the Miss Chiquita is her name. She's got a fruit bowl on her head. This is actually one of my favorite. This is seriously one of my favorite logos of all time. And it's pretty much stuck on every banana. You get a little sticker with Miss Chiquita. Chiquita was formed. The company was formed in 1899. The logo was introduced in 1944. Miss Chiquita was introduced as the logo and mascot for the banana company in 1944 and was drawn by artist Dick Brown. In the early years, Miss Chiquita appeared on radio shows and made many guest appearances in movies, commercials, and even the Boston Pop Symphony Orchestra. The banana, Miss Chiquita, was changed into a woman with a fruit hat in 1987. The current logo features a rough rendering of the woman above the brand name on a blue seal. Carmen Miranda was the one who would dance around with fruit on her head. She had a big fruit basket on her head. If I remember correctly, Carmen Miranda.
You are correct.
Uh, 847 area code chiming in on here on some of these iconic brand logos. 312-981-7200. 847 area code says the cursive written name Ford in the oval blue in the Blue Oval has been iconic forever. Just the Blue Oval alone makes it feel familiar. Ford is on this. Ford is on this list. Actually, number three. That's considered the number three most iconic brand logo of all time. And that makes sense. 815 area code says, what about White Castle? Yeah, White Castle. You got the little castle. And then the font. That font has never changed. I don't think that font has ever changed the way it's written. But you know, when you see that castle, you know indigestion is on the way. Or at least for me now. I used to be able to pound the sliders now. I haven't had a White Castle. I can't tell you last time I had a White Castle. A slider. 847 says, what about the Chevy Cross? Yeah. Classic. All right, Dunkin' Donuts. Now, it's not Dunkin' Donuts anymore. It's just Dunkin'. Have they changed any of the signs? Because the commercials all say Dunkin' now. The commercials are all like, go Dunkin' or... You what's it called? You live on Dunkin' or you go? Would you keep going? Run around on Dunkin'. Dunkin' gives you fuel. Running around, I can run because I'm Dunkin'. I woke up and I have energy because of Dunkin'. Keep running.
Running with Dunkin'.
Running on Dunkin'. Running with Dunkin'.
I remember. Yeah, I'm
something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, you know, America runs on Dunkin'.
Oh, that's it. America runs on Dunkin'. That's it. America runs on Dunkin' Keith. That's what I'm saying. So Dunkin' Donuts company was founded in 1950. The logo was introduced also in 1950. The initial Dunkin' Donuts logo was a script version of the company name, which held until 1955 when the Donut Man became a figure with a donut for a head holding a slice of pizza and wearing a coffee cup with the company name written on it. The new logo was introduced in 1960, featuring a text donut being dunked into a coffee cup. 1 year later, the coffee cup was removed, and the circular text logo was implemented. From 1970 to 1976, Dunkin' combined the older coffee cup text logo with a simple text logo. And in 1976, the modern-looking logo was created and has been used ever since with a slight color improvements over the years. I remember all those logos. You know, I used to live like right, essentially across the street from a Dunkin', the Dunkin' Donuts at Lincoln and Addison. I lived at Lincoln and Ravenswood. So it was like, I went to that. I can't tell you how many times I was at that Dunkin' Donuts. And that we used to go there all the time. All the time. So I've seen that logo change over the years. And now I live right down the street from a Dunkin' Donuts. I can't get away from Dunkin' Donuts.
I think that's pretty much everybody, though, now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like saying, you know, I live near a Starbucks, which I do. I live near a Starbucks, which, of course, is not a surprise. Doesn't everybody live near a Starbucks? Is that, I mean, seriously, don't you live near a Starbucks?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I think everybody on planet Earth lives near a Starbucks at this point. And I would actually wager to say that more people live near Starbucks than they do Dunkin' Donuts. That's what I would say. Because I'm right between it. I live right between the Dunkin' Donuts and the Starbucks. The Starbucks is west of me. The Dunkin' Donuts is east of me.
Yeah, you know what? I would be interested. Probably I would say so in cities, but opposite in, you know, more rural areas.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Okay. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the most iconic brand logos of all time. What are your favorites? What are the most distinctive? What are the most recognizable? 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6. It's Friday, so that means all the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies. And you, big dummy, well, we have a lot of dummy stories to read this morning. The winners from April through June of last year, because we are narrowing it down to the dummy of the year. The biggest dummy of 2018. Right now, though, we're talking about the most iconic and memorable and coolest brand logos of all time. And if you want to jump in with your thoughts on that, 312-981-7200. What about FedEx? That's very distinctive. The company was founded in 1973. The logo was introduced in 1973. In 1971, the FedEx logo was the full name of the company, Federal Express, in blue and red on a slant, meant to be intentionally patriotic and associate the company with the U.S. government. The initial logo helped FedEx become successful. In 1994, the current logo was created. If you look closely at the space between the E and the X, you will notice a small arrow hidden between, meant to symbolize FedEx speed and accuracy. So yeah, you can see it, like it's formed by the E and the X. There's an arrow. It's an arrow. That's what that means. FedEx, fast. So how about the Gap? Company was founded in 1969. Logo was introduced in 1969. The original logo of the Gap was simply the name in text and was used from 69 to 86. It was then switched to the iconic blue box. The Gap attempted a modern logo change in 2010 by adding a small blue box behind Helvetica text, causing outrage via social media. Gap eventually returned back to its blue box logo. People got upset because the Gap, I don't remember that. The people were, there was outrage because they changed it to Helvetica. All right. How about Intel? Din, 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 right? Isn't that that's their little sound cue, right? The year the company was founded was in 68. The logo, a logo was introduced in 69. The first logo for Intel was created by founders Robert Noyce and Gordon Moore in 68. The Intel logo shifted from the company name and dropped the E and to the current logo comprised of a swoosh surrounding the company's name with a leap ahead slogan. Intel inside. Kodak. Well, now this is a legendary one right here. This is one of the most, this has got to be one of the most iconic logos of all time. The company was founded in 1888. The logo was introduced in 1907. The Kodak logo, introduced in 1907, claims to be the first integration of a company's name and look into a symbol. In 1935, Kodak unveiled a logo which features its now iconic red and yellow color scheme and a logotype of the brand name that went on to be used by the company until the image reinvention in 1987. In 1960, Kodak introduced the corner curl design, which was followed by an introduction of the Box K design in 71. The 71 design unveiled the new iconic K cutout, from a rounded red square with the brand name also cut out in yellow. With only a logotype update in 1987, the 1971 design essentially remained in use until 2006 when the company eliminated the square altogether, leaving the rounded logotype of red and white for the background. Lego. That's a pretty cool logo. The company was founded in 1932. The logo was introduced in 1934. The 1932 logo was simply a logotype of Lego. In 1946, the company paid homage to its hometown of Billund, Denmark, which also employed the same logotype. And then in 1936, Lego added color to its logo, representing the company's name and looking almost like one of their boxed toys. And then in 1950, Lego turned to a simpler logo, which integrated the company's name within the circle featured Billund, Denmark in the outer ring. 3 years later, in 53, Lego unveiled the white bubble-lettered logo that has become iconic of the brand and remained in use in the company since 1953. In 1959, the word system was added below the brand name in yellow Lego type. See, I'm talking logo Lego here, and I'm getting all my... It's a tongue twister, man. 1973, system was dropped, and Lego got a yellow border outside the black outline. The current Lego logo has been in use since 1998, and the image brings happiness to millions of children worldwide. Yes, it does. Not just children. Adults. How about Starbucks? Starbucks company was founded in 1971. The logo was introduced in 1971. And in that year, while in search for inspiration for a logo, the founders of Starbucks stumbled upon a Norse 16th century woodcut which featured the now famous two-tailed mermaid or siren, Terry Heckler was recruited to design the logo for what was then Starbucks Coffee, Tea, and Spices, which incorporated the bare-chested siren with an intricate crown and tail. Heckler was invited back to update and censor the design in 1987. There was a merger between the two companies in 1992. Heckler returned to revise the logo into the now iconic and further censored version, which featured a demure and smiling mermaid with a simple crown and tails. Drawing on Heckler's 1992 design, the latest revisioning occurred in 2011. The design team removed the outer circle of the logo, keeping only the mermaid illustration, while changing the black to the trademark Starbucks green. The bold move to rely only on the siren's image reflects the iconic status of the brand, achieved through 40 years of foundation work. Kathy sends in a text. Pillsbury with the white lettering and the blue circle. It seems as though Doughboy's chef's hat as well. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Pillsbury is a very iconic logo as well. 847 area code says UPS is iconic. 815 area code, the CBS Eye and the NBC Peacock. NBC Peacock is actually right on this is right here. Next. NBC was founded in 1926. A logo was introduced in 1926. At the company's founding, the logo was a blue rectangle with a broadcasting microphone over America and NBC above it in bold letters. The logo was simplified to black and white in 1930, removing the color as well as the image of the microphone over America. In 1942, the logo became more stylized with an NBC-labeled microphone amidst red-colored sound waves. For 3 years in 1940, I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Wow, double one.
That was two. I very rarely do a double.
Yeah.
And for 3 years, the NBC snake, a brown box with a stylized NBC, was the logo for 16 years. A new logo with an abstract N letter appeared in 1976. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And was estimated cost between $750,000 and $1 million, but only lasted for 4 years. In 1979, the Peacock made its return as the logo with a contemporary spin that inspired a new take designed by Cherif Mayef and Gesmer. The final logo we see today is widely known as the NBC Peacock. The company name is no longer necessary. And now that logo appears before every NBC show that presents, you know, like the when it's NBC presents. Boom, ding, ding. 630 area code says, what about the AAA logo? Also, AA for American Airlines. Yes. Let's see. What are some of the top ones here? Let me fly through the top 10 real quick. Here are the top 10 logos that are most iconic, that are considered most iconic. Google. But they like to mess around. Every day they change. You know, there's always some sort of theme where, you know, they have some sort of cartoon or a theme or something.
Yeah, the doodle.
The doodle. And they've got what today. Wait, it's something pretty cool today. Hold on. Let me. Oh, yeah, it's Earl Scruggs, celebrating Earl Scruggs. It's like a cartoon version of Earl Scruggs playing the banjo. So they have fun with their logo, the Google people. Number nine on this list, Burger King, considered the ninth most iconic logo. Number eight is Levi's. Number seven, McDonald's. Number six, Mercedes-Benz. Five, Pepsi. Four, Apple. Three, Ford, as we mentioned before. Two, Coca-Cola, which was mentioned. And the number one most iconic logo, according to this, at complex.com, is Nike. And that totally makes sense, because it's just, you don't even need to see. Just see the swoosh, and that's it. You know exactly what it is. So, yeah, man, I'd like to design some logos.
I mean, what the cost of some of them was like, paid that for that.
I'll tell you what I miss. I miss the bird from WGN. Remember the bird? WGN bird?
Sure.
Did he have a name?
I want to say he did.
Was it like Clancy or Samson or something like that? While we're doing that, we got a break here for the weather, and then we'll find out about
Chicago.
Oh, his name was Chicago?
His name was Chicago.
Chicago the bird. it was back in the 80s, I want to say. Early, well, 90s as well. In the 90s, too, I think. So, all right, let's take a break for the weather, and then we've got to start our trek to the dummy of the year when we have you, big dummy, right after the break.
Here's the dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did? Oh, no, you big dummy. You dummy.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here till 5. Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. But right now it's time for...
You Big Dummy!
Another special edition of You Big Dummy. We are counting down, getting our finalists ready to go, and we will crown Dummy of the Year. So we've got a lot to get to, so let's get to it. By the way, these are the winners from last year, April through June. Every week champion from April through June. Here we go. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy number one. Managers of a Sonic fast food eatery have a request for customers. Don't smoke marijuana while ordering. Customers at the Sonic drive-thru in Mississippi snapped photos that went viral online after the restaurant posted a sign about its marijuana policy. The sign reads, quote, "Attention, if you are smoking weed in the drive-thru, you will not be served. Please show some common courtesy and smoke and air out before pulling up to order." Store manager Yasmin Freeman said the sign was posted in March after a customer at the drive-thru blew marijuana smoke in the face of an employee who was a minor. Freeman said the sign appears to have been effective, as well as serving as a conversation topic for amused patrons. There are a lot of pictures have been taken about it, she told the Sun-Herald newspaper.
And for every dummy, there's a dummy.
Dummy number two, dummy number two, da 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 da. A Massachusetts woman, concerned about the possible discontinuing of Necco wafers, offered to trade her Honda Accord for some of the candy. Necco chief executive Mike McGee said in March that 395 workers could end up laid off if the company can't find a buyer. And the company, which has been making the colorful wafers since 1847, could close down in May. The news sent many Necco fans into a frenzy to stockpile their favorite candy. Necco sales spiked more than 50%. Necco wafers are up 63%, says wholesaler candystore.com. Among them was Katie Samuels, 23, a Florida resident, who has been eating wafers since she was a child. Samuels attempts to strike an unusual deal with candystore.com. "I offered to trade my 2003 Honda Accord for all of their stock," she told the Boston Globe. "I knew it was kind of a silly thing to say, but I'm serious. I don't have much right now, so I was like, I've got this car and I want all that candy, so maybe I should consider it." Candystore.com ultimately decided to pass on Samuels' offer. Samuels said she was able to buy about 48 rolls of Necco wafers with her credit card.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You got to bring home super dummy.
Dummy number three, dummy number three, dummy number three. Dummy number three was sent to us by multiple listeners, including John Thomas, Hawk of May, and Derek the truck driver. A Florida woman who was arrested blamed the cocaine in her purse on the wind. The woman, 26, was one of two passengers in a car that had been stopped for erratic driving. According to the police report, an officer approached the car, smelled an odor of marijuana coming from inside. During a search of the car, the officer found cocaine and marijuana in separate bags inside the purse in her lap. When questioned about the drugs, she admitted that the marijuana was hers, police said, but the cocaine was a different story. "I don't know anything about any cocaine," she said. "It was a windy day. It must have flown in through the window and into my purse." She was booked in a county jail on one count felony of cocaine possession and a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession. She was released later on bond.
But if you and Rollo gonna be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies.
Dummy number four, dummy number four, dummy number four.
Security cameras at a Chinese phone shop were rolling when a dog took control of a three-wheeler cab and crashed through the wall of the business. The footage shows customers and workers quickly darting out of the way as a taxi cab crashes through the wall and store displays. The cab driver said he left his dog alone in the vehicle and left the engine running, and the canine apparently knocked the cab out of park, sending it crashing through the store.
Dummy number five, dummy number five, dummy number five.
Police in Oregon said a suspect led them on a chase while riding a stolen motorcycle with the vanity plate reading ex-felon, X-F-E-L-O-N. The Springfield Police Department said Brooke Antoine Williams, 35, was recognized Wednesday by an officer in the parking lot of an Albertson store. The officer determined Williams, a convicted felon, had a warrant for his arrest on a parole violation related to an unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. Williams sped off on his Ducati motorcycle while the officer waited to be joined by a patrol officer in a marked car. The officer followed Williams in an unmarked car and made a note of the ex-felon license plate, which bore expired North Dakota tags. The patrol officer joined the pursuit, and Williams fled at speeds of up to 85 to 100 miles per hour down side streets until he reached a dead end and got off the vehicle. Police arrested Williams, who claimed he hadn't been riding the motorcycle. Police discovered the bike had been reported stolen in June of 2017. The ex-felon plate had not been on the motorcycle at the time of the theft, leading us to believe that whoever stole the bike put the plate on it. Springfield Police Lieutenant Scott McGee told the Springfield Register, since these guys make license plates in prison, you would think he'd be a little more creative.
Here's something for you right here. Want it. Dummy.
Dummy number six. Dummy number six.
Dummy six! An Iowa man says his dog inadvertently shot him while they were roughhousing on Wednesday. 51-year-old Richard Remy of Fort Dodge told police he was playing with his dog, Baloo, on the couch and tossed the dog off of his lap. He says that the pit bull Labrador mix bounded back up and must have disabled the safety on the gun in his belly band and stepped on the trigger. The gun fired, striking one of Remy's legs. He was treated at a hospital and released later that day. Remy told the Messenger newspaper that Baloo is a big wuss and laid down beside him and cried because he thought he had done something wrong.
Dummy number seven, dummy number seven, dummy number seven.
Police were called to investigate a shouting match and found a man arguing with a parrot. A resident in Lowrach near the Swiss border called the emergency number Monday to report his concerns about loud shouting from a next-door apartment that had been going on for some time. Officers sent to the scene found there was a loud argument going on, but it was between a 22-year-old man and a parrot. The man told them that he had been annoyed with the bird, which belonged to his girlfriend. The parrot responded by being shouted at with loud noises of his own. Police said it couldn't speak, but It could bark like a dog. Since no one was hurt, the officers left.
Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house.
Dummy number eight. Dummy number eight. Dummy number eight.
Fake promotional gold bars apparently appeared so much like the real thing that someone broke into a Western Michigan flooring shop to take them. WXMI-TV reports the owner of Old to Gold Hardwood Floors arrived to find his store robbed. Foam rubber gold bars featuring the company's logo were strewn about. A rock had been used to break through the window at around 2 a.m. on Sunday. The burglar was seen on surveillance video roaming through the shop. Employee Nick Butler tells WZZM-TV that the thief may have walked past the window, saw a stack of bars, and thought, wow, someone forgot to put these gold bars away. The squeezable bars are stress relief novelty items. Butler says the company's motto is stress-free flooring.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period.
Dummy number nine, dummy number nine, dummy number nine.
A surprised onlooker captured video of a truck that drove off with an archway attached to its roof after apparently misjudging a clearance. The video, recorded on an Indonesian road, shows the truck traveling with the top of an archway balancing on its roof. The truck also totes one of the archway's support beams. The truck's hazard lights were on. It was unclear whether the apparently accidental property damage was reported to police.
Dummy.
All right. We'll take a break here. We've got more dummies to... We have four more dummies to choose from. And then with this, I realize that this is tough because these are all good. These were all the week's winners from April through June, but we got to narrow it down. We got to crown a dummy of the year. So we got four more dummies stories to read, and then we shall vote. And you will be our third vote. And that's coming up after the news, which is next. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and my main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 has your morning drive. It's Friday. As you can tell, we're doing our regular Friday features. Straight Out of Context is coming up. Nick D Show Spies, and then we'll dive into some funky Fly Jams Friday. But right now, we got to get back to narrowing down our finalists as we climb the mountain to crown the dummy of the year on You Big Dummy.
Dummy number 10, dummy number 10, dummy 10, dummy.
An off-duty FBI agent dancing wildly accidentally shot a man in the leg when the agent tried to pick up the gun that fell from his holster as he performed a handstand, Denver police said. I saw this. I remember this video. Bystander recorded the video of the incident involving the unnamed agent, which authorities said took place early on Saturday. In a statement, the Denver Police Department said the agent was dancing at a nightclub when his firearm became dislodged from his waistband holster and fell to the floor. When the agent retrieved his handgun, an unintended discharge occurred. Another bar patron was hit by the bullet in the lower leg, sustaining a non-life-threatening injury, said the statement by department spokeswoman Marika Putnam. The agent was taken to police headquarters, Putnam said, and later released into the Federal Bureau of Investigation supervisor.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Yes, Donna and me. And the dummy makes three.
Dummy number 11, dummy number 11, 11 dummies.
Police in Florida shared body camera footage of a suspected car thief saying goodbye to his alleged accomplice, a monkey. The Pasco County Sheriff's Office said that Cody Blake Hessian, 23, allegedly stole a car he found unlocked with the keys hidden under the floor mat. Deputies found Hessian after he apparently crashed the car into a ditch, and they were surprised to find he wasn't alone. A monkey was clinging to his body. It was quite a surprise, said Deputy Zachary Dendler. Hessian told deputies he purchased the primate named Monk about 4 years ago, but investigators found that he did not have a permit for the exotic pet. Hessian was arrested, Grand Theft Auto charges along with possession of an exotic animal without a permit. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission transported the monkey to the Suncoast Primate Sanctuary in Palm Harbor. Poor Monk.
Have you ever seen him act? I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy.
Dummy number 12. Dummy number 12. Dummy number 12.
Authorities say an Arkansas thief got his just desserts when he tried to pay for a meal using the waitress's stolen credit card. A police spokesman said in a news release that officers arrested the 20-year-old Shannon's restaurant. It was arrested in Shannon's restaurant in Pine Bluff. The man had provided a credit card after his meal, and when waitress Flora Lunsford looked at it, she discovered that it was the same card that had been stolen from her car earlier in the week. The man is being held at the Jefferson County Jail in lieu of $2,840 bond on forgery and theft by receiving charges. Jail records do not list an eternity.
I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber. The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them.
Dummy number 13, dummy number 13, dummy number 30.
Police in Massachusetts said a shoplifter who used Play-Doh to circumvent security alarms at a Walmart store left a fingerprint in the squishy toy. The Leicester Police Department said a man attempted to thwart anti-theft devices at the Walmart store in the city by covering them in Play-Doh, but the alarm still sounded and the man fled. Walmart employees subsequently discovered anti-theft devices covered in Play-Doh discarded behind the store. Police discovered one of the pieces of Play-Doh contained a fingerprint believed to be from the suspect, and the department shared a photo of the fingerprint on March 29th. The department said Monday that the Connecticut Forensics Laboratory contacted investigators in April to reveal the prints match Dennis Jackson, 55. The police said that Jackson, who has warrants for his arrest in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, was arrested and is being held without bail at the Worcester County Jail and House of Corrections. The LPD has filed charges in its investigation, and the suspect will be arraigned in court in the near future, the police department said in a Facebook quote.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
All right. You know, Dan, when we do this at, every year, it's just so tough because these are the winners.
Right.
You know, every week these guys won. This was between April and June. These were all the weekly winners between April and June, and we have to narrow it down. So let me recap, and then the third vote will be from one of you listeners at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let me do the recap. We've got all the people blowing weed in the Sonic drive-thru, so they had to put up a sign. We've got the woman who tried to trade her car for Necco wafers. We've got the woman who said that wind blew cocaine into her purse. The cab driver who left his car running and his dog drove it through a storefront window. We got the guy who led a high-speed chase on a motorcycle with a plate that read X felon. We got the man who got shot while playing with his dog. The man who was arguing with his parrot so loudly the police were called, with a parrot, not his parrot. It was his girlfriend's parrot. That's why they were yelling at each other. A guy who broke into a place that looked like it had gold bars only to find out that they were stress relievers. The guy who hit an archway in his truck and kept driving with it still from his roof. The agent whose gun went off while he was dancing and doing handstands. The guy stealing a car with his pet monkey. The man caught paying for his meal with the waitress's stolen credit card, and the guy who was caught because the Play-Doh he left on the anti-theft devices had his fingerprints on it. Quite a gathering of dummies, may I say so, Dan?
You may say so.
Thank you. All right, where are you leaning? Because this is not easy.
Yeah. I always like it when the cops are able to throw in jokes into the story. So the ex-felon, you know, about making a license plate is, you know, hilarious. With the golden bar ones, it's like you know, I wonder slash hope that the person doing it would have been just like, are those golden bars? Why would they leave golden bars out?
Yeah.
Maybe they just left golden bars out, you know, and that back and forth before going in and then realizing they were just stress relievers.
I mean, he was in some stress. He could have used them
at
that time.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of animal stories this week.
Absolutely.
That round, as I pointed out with the original one with the Necco wafers, you know, you can sell your card to get money to buy Necco wafers. You don't have to. but, you know, the wind blowing the cocaine into her purse. Yeah. You know, what bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the wind that blew cocaine in her purse. What do you guys think? We want to vote here at 312-981-7200. Which of these dummies do you think should go on to the finals and almost be crowned Dummy of the Year? Let me go through some of the ones that I liked. I still, you know, the video of the agent dancing around doing the handstands and then, you know, the gun, he picks the gun up and it goes off. That video is pretty special. I love the guy stealing the car and he's got a monkey. And the cops said that was a fun discovery. Like, oh, they discovered a monkey and the monkey was clinging to him. The arguing with the parrot is also hilarious. The detail there is that it's his girlfriend's parrot and clearly the parrot doesn't like him and he doesn't like the parrot, but he has to put up with it because it's his girlfriend's parrot. The Sonic drive-thru, so many people blew weed that they actually had to put a sign up. I mean, that's strong. That's really strong. But you know what? Dan, I have to agree with you. I mean, if you're looking for the strictest definition of dumb, saying, I don't know what that's doing in here, the wind must have blown the cocaine into my purse, I have to agree with you. But we still want to get a third vote.
We had a Steve who couldn't hang on. He had voted for the FBI guys. So
the FBI guy dancing?
Yeah.
Okay, the FBI guy dancing. That was our third vote. But majority rules. And moving on to the semifinals, if that's what they're called, is the woman who said that cocaine blew into her purse because of the wind. So there we go. All right, we got two dummy finalists so far. And we'll do this again next week. Let's take a break here for the weather, and then we come back. We've got Straight Out of Context and Nick D Show Spies to get underway. And so there you go. We continue to count down to Dummy of the Year. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context, context.
What's up? Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context.
That's right. Time for Straight Out of Context. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Friday morning. All the Friday features are happening. We're here till 5. Fly James Friday coming up in a little bit, too. But this is Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle like a 9-year-old, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. It's that simple. All right, Dan, shall we begin?
We shall begin. Peter in Decatur heard this one of Mike Stevens.
We want old school wood.
Come on, Broham, you know better than that. I haven't seen Broham in a long time.
Yeah.
But he's you can hear him every Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Right here and outside the Loop Radio, where he wants old school wood. All right.
Brian emailed this one of Joe Brand.
I'm sure I satisfied no one with that.
That's funny. That's funny. Poor guy. All right.
Brian also sent in this one of Andy Mazur.
Those are pretty big melons there.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Come on now. What are we... What? Come on, Andy. Jeez. Okay.
Jim heard this one of Brian Noonan.
There aren't too many that I've seen or that I've been exposed to.
Oh, man. Okay.
And another one of Brian from Jim.
We all do it.
Okay. Okay. Man, my listeners just have, they have, like, they just really dive right into the deep end of Dirty Mind. They do. Because that was a pretty simple statement, but there you go.
Kevin from Iowa emailed this one of Colin Suter.
It's a little harder than usual.
Now, to be fair, I believe he was talking about compiling a worst of list because 2018 was such a good film. By the way, I do want to take this opportunity, if people missed Monday morning, the podcast is up and it's out there. It's at WGNRadio.com. We did our full show. Colin Suter, Eric Childress, and I unveiled our favorite movies of 2008, our least favorite performances, all that stuff, subcategories, and it's all available, the full show where we take care of the movie year of 2018. And it's all available at WGNRadio.com on podcast. If you miss it, you should listen because it was a great show. It was a fun show. And it's, by the way, the last appearance that Colin Suter is going to have with us in a very, very long time. He may take it at least a year off from reviewing movies with us. And he is great, contributed so much to this, to the show. Been contributing to the show and been doing the movie reviews with us for, what has been, 19 years that these guys have been working with me. And so we're going to miss Colin. But Jim Leskowski will join us officially beginning Monday morning. He will take Colin's place, and Jim Leskowski will be joining us every week to continue the movie reviews that we will do every Monday morning. But the Best Of show is available, and you should check it out at WGNRadio.com. Okay.
Brian sent in this one of John Williams.
She went to town on it.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Okay.
Wild Bill heard this one of you.
Me? Can I get that beaver tail? Oh, God. Now, beaver tail is what they call, what, a pastry or something? Or an elephant ear.
Yes.
That's what it was referred to in Canada, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's a beaver. Can I get a beaver tail? All right.
Brian emailed this one of John Williams.
I used to do it, but my hips are kind of sore now. I can't anymore.
Do we know what he was talking about?
No, I forget what it was.
That's good, though. That's good. All right.
Devin sent in this exchange between Steve Cochran and John DeCosse.
So, John, in your world, a small is 12, a medium is 12 and a half, a large is 13.
Medium is 14. A large is 16.
Why would a medium be 2 inches larger than a 12?
My God. Oh, man. Okay.
Celine, Brian, Dirty Dave, Kathleen, and Rob heard this one of Mary Sandberg.
I like to eat a 10-inch.
Oh, man. No wonder so many people sent that one in. Oh, man. Yeah, okay.
And finally, our own Vic Vaughn sent in this one of you.
For my nuts. It's just my nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Vic. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that, pal. There he is, giving me a salute. Thank you. Thank you, Vic. Just walked over to the camera to salute me from his desk where he's writing stories for his next newscast. All right. Well, there it is. That's Straight Out of Context. Again, listen every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to everybody on this station. Whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty, jot it all down. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, let's move on to this thing.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody.
Spies.
Spies. Spies.
Like us.
Ah, yes, it is time for Nick D Show Spies. This is when you, the listener, listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody, at any time, mentions my name or talks about the show in any way or capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot all the information down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, Dan, what do we got?
One clip this week, our three spies were Peter and Decatur, Celine and Mike. John Williams was talking about the Golden Globes, Bohemian Rhapsody winning, and how the people who dislike that movie really dislike that movie.
The thing that I enjoy about it, though, is the Richard Ropers of the world who don't like that movie and cannot get their heads around this phenomenon of that movie. Literally, what was it the Roper tweeted last night? He said, there's two kinds of people in the world, those that like that movie and those that I understand. He does not get it.
Nick DiGilio feels the same way.
And I don't have a dog in this hunt, but I'm enjoying watching them just fulminate about it because they can't take it anymore.
Yeah, it's the worst movie. It was voted for me. It was on my top 10 worst movies list. I hate Bohemian Rhapsody. And the fact that it's getting all this acclaim, and, you know, that means it's probably going to get a Best Picture nomination. I mean, Rami Malek, I assumed, was going to get nominated for Best Actor. But this terrible, awful, stupid, cliched, predictable VH1 Lifetime movie that, you know, that's bad enough, but also to add insult to injury, completely insults the memory of Freddie Mercury by filling it with unbelievable inaccuracies that either never happened or happened in an entirely different way. It's one of the most insulting and historically inaccurate movies made about a real person ever made, and I totally blame Brian May and Roger Taylor. Let's get back at Freddie after he died because he basically got all the attention because he was the greatest frontman in the history of rock and roll. I don't know, but they approved everything that went into this movie, and 95% of the movie is a lie. So, yeah, it's making me nuts that it's getting all this acclaim. So, and I'm with Roper. I didn't know Roper disliked it. I'm right with Richard on this. There are people that like this movie and then people that I understand. And so, hey, Rich, I'm right with you, buddy. Right with you. God, I hated that movie. All right. Anyway, don't get me all steamed. Thanks, John. Thanks for bringing it up. Okay. All right. Shall we do the thing before we do the thing?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
That's right. All right, everybody, let's get funky. It's time for Fly Jams Friday. So get your requests in now. DJ Shagru is ready to go. I'm Wiki Wiki Nicky. Viggity Viggity Vic is running around like a maniac in the newsroom. And now it's up to you to call in with your requests of anything funky and R&B. It's Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Get your Fly Jam requests in now. The news is up after this. Welcome back. That's Fly, man. We've played that song a bunch of times, and I always request it, Dan. That's the thing. It's one of my favorite Fly jams of all time. That's New Edition, Can You Stand the Rain? Man, that is Fly. And that's what this is all about. It's Fly Jams Friday. We get our weekend, kick it off with a funky start. You got an R&B song you want to hear? You want to hear some Fly Jams? Request them now. DJ Shagru is ready to go. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Dan, you were too little to remember just how unbelievably popular New Edition was. I mean, I know that because that song was later New Edition. That was like Bobby Brown had already left at that point. He'd went solo and had a very successful solo career. That was like New Edition sort of rebirth. You know, and that's a really terrific record. That album came out. That was late 80s, but they were like in 84, 85.
I have to chime in here.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about performers who were my very first concert in life.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah. New Edition, Bobby Brown. Post Bobby Brown being a part of New Edition, he came back and did a concert with them.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was when I was living in New Mexico. It was at a college. I think it was probably New Mexico State University. I'm not sure. It had to be New Mexico State.
So they did kind of a reunion thing where Bobby Brown came. Oh, that must have been great.
Well, the great thing about it was seeing Bobby Brown dance.
Yeah.
That guy had some moves.
Oh, man, he did. Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he used to, in his prime, he was unbelievable. When when his first solo album came out, and it had My Prerogative on it and all the other hits.
Yeah, he did all those songs.
Oh my God. And it was
really good. Yeah.
Oh, come on. You know, but there was a time back when they were little kids, when they were sort of like Jackson 5-ish.
Right.
They were kind of like the 80s Jackson 5. They were huge.
Ronnie, Bobby, Mickey, and Mike.
Yeah, they were huge.
They were.
Mr. Telephone Man.
Right.
And all those, I mean, they were massive. And then Bobby Brown went solo. And then you had like Belle Biv DeVoe. You had all the offshoots from New Edition, which would eventually, you know, the fly jams that initially started this whole segment were from the New Jack variety. That was the New Jack Swing, which was very, very popular in the late 80s and into the early 90s. And that was originally the style of fly jams that inspired this segment. So that's why I sometimes go back to the classics. You know, like the theme song to Fly Jams Friday is the late, great Johnny Kemp Just Got Paid, which is a New Jack Swing classic fly jam. So yeah, but that's cool that you got to see that. I've never got to see those guys live.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. All right. Yeah, man, fly jams. That's what we're doing here. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for your fly jam requests. All right. We got some requests here. The 708 area code requesting a little CNC Music Factory. CNC Music Factory, man. Getting fly, fly, fly. You know, their biggest hit, Gonna Make You Sweat. That was such a... I mean, that song was so big. It was so huge. And does anybody... Dan, do you remember the name of the rapper? Jump to the rhythm, jump, jump to the rhythm, jump.
I do not.
Freedom Williams. That was his name, Freedom Williams. So, now, and you, I'm sure, do you remember the controversy about the video?
I do, yeah.
Because they put a thin, they put a thin chick in the video lip syncing to the woman who did the vocals, and the woman who did the vocals was a plus size big girl. And was there a lawsuit involved in that? I think there was, wasn't
there?
Yes,
there was a lawsuit.
And
I remember that.
Was she one of the Weather Girls?
I want to say she was.
Yeah. One of the Weather Girls, of course, it's Raining Men, which is a fly jam, a fun song. I love that song. Of course, you know, written by Paul Schaefer. I don't know if people know that or not, but Paul Schaefer wrote, "It's Raining Men, Hallelujah." I sounded just like it, didn't it, Dan?
I turned away and I thought...
You thought the Weather Girls were in the room,
in the studio,
right? Yeah, Freedom Williams. Wonder whatever happened to Freedom Williams. That's one of the best names ever. CNC Music Factory. That and the other big one was Things That Make You Go, Hmm, which, of course, was inspired by Arsenio Hall and his Things That Make You Go, Hmm segment on his show. All right. We got some calls coming in. If you have a fly jam request, you want to hear it. Let's hear some funky stuff from you. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's Bob on WGN. Hi, Bob. Bob?
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right, what do you got?
Hey, got Can I Change My Mind by Tyrone Davis. He's a Chicago guy. A great jam from a long time ago. And
all right, here we go.
I would like to start all over.
Nice choice, Bob. That's a good one, man. Thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, Tyrone Davis, that's a great song. Yeah, local dude, terrific voice, wrote great songs. Fly Jam, fly singer, fly local. So 312-981-7200 is your phone number for Fly Jams Friday. And we do this every Friday where we celebrate the world of funk and R&B. All right, let's see what we got here. Here's Jimmy on WGN. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Nick. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Well, before Donna Summer's Love to Love You Baby, we got the great Sylvia with Pillow Talk.
There we go. Nice choice, Jimmy. I appreciate it. That's Sylvia with Pillow Talk. Dan, when that song came out, it was considered like, oh my God, it's the sexiest song of all time. And it was sort of controversial because it was like she's moaning on it and stuff. And then, like he points it out, like Jimmy pointed out, Love to Love You, Baby. There's a section of that song where it's just Donna Summer going, ugh, you know, and at that time, that was risque. Now, you know, people do all kinds of crazy, insane stuff on records. But that was like, you know, oh God, they're showing the Baby Shark video on the TV. So, but by the way, now Dan, you have a 3.5-year-old child.
Yes.
Okay. I was not aware of this Baby Shark thing. I was watching Jimmy Kimmel last night. He did a bit on it because this song is now. It cracked the Billboard Top 100. It's now number 32 on the Billboard Top 100. Can you find it so that we can actually make everybody's mornings miserable? There's this viral video. It's a song, and it's called Baby Shark. And anybody with kids, and luckily, Dan, you said that Emily's not insane about it, right?
Right.
Okay, well, Jimmy Kimmel's kid is. Jimmy Kimmel's kid is obsessed with the Baby Shark. And he and plays it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And here it is.
Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark.
Daddy shark, do 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 do. Daddy shark, do 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 do.
Okay, so that, by the way, is not a Fly Jam. It's not Fly at all. But I just had to play it because I'd never heard it before. And when Kimmel did that bit on it last night, he says he's going crazy. Because you know how Dan, of course you know this. You know how young kids get obsessed with one thing,
right?
They watch it over and over and over again. They listen to it over and over again. They play with it over and over and over again. There are parents around the world right now whose brains are about to fall out of their ears because they have to hear what we just heard 15 hours a day. and it's driving Kimmel nuts. And for some reason, nobody can really explain why, it's charted now that what you just heard, this baby shark thing, is number 32 on the Billboard Hot 100 right now. Is that the apocalypse? Are the four horsemen in the sky right now? Number 32 on the Billboard music chart is the baby shark song. And I apologize for parents out there who have young kids who were, you know, who, because it's, you know, 4:45 in the morning, you're not listening to it right now. I apologize to all the parents.
A lot of interesting texts coming in, let me tell you.
A lot of parents texting in going,
Rachel, I hate you for playing Baby Shark. 847, I worked at a day camp. We sang the Shang Shark back then. What were the original lyrics to Baby Shark? 779, I think I just lost a few brain cells. 630, if I ever hear the shark song again on WTN radio, I'm never listening again.
Well, hey, listen, it's number 32 on the charts. We want to remain, you know, current, right, Dan?
Right. Right.
All right, let's break. We have to erase the memory by playing some really good fly. Now we need more fly. We need really good fly jams more than ever. After exposing our eardrums to the baby shark, now we gotta make it all better with some good funky fly jams. 312-981-7200. Yeah, man. Johnny Gill getting all sad. He's not feeling very fly. Although that's a fly jam, he's sad. So, all right. Hey, Nick DiGilio here. Welcome back. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Are we getting requests for Baby Shark?
No.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure. It is Fly Jams Friday, and if you want to jump in, we're celebrating all things funky. 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 a.m. Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and my main man, Steve Cochran, coming up at 6. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. All right. Let's see. We've got some requests here. Dino. Dino requested a little bit of Enchantment.
Well, the time is right. Don't you pass it up tonight. One night is all we got. So I'm telling you right now. Your chance to dance across the floor. You can go around with the time. You get it off the floor.
That's Enchantment, everybody. Dino's request here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here till 5 a.m. It's Fly Jams Friday. So let's hear what you got. 312-981-7200. Here is Bob, who's on the north side on WGN. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
Just completed Sopranos' 20th anniversary run through all of the episodes of HBO, and
so it's
the great scene when Tony starts reminiscing about Irina, his Russian girlfriend that he broke up with,
Yeah. Listening
to Old Girl by the Shy Lights, and then goes in this emotional moment and beats the hell out of the councilman with his belt.
Right, exactly.
Because he's dating the girl.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, wiping the tears and then just got mad enough to take the belt off, right?
All right, well, here it is. For that memory, here's the Shy Lights. Classic. Classic. Bob, thank you, buddy. Bob from the North Side, a little Shy Lights. That's like one of the pinnacle of one of the pinnacles of Fly Jams right there, the Shy Lights. We've heard the Shy Lights many, many times on this program.
Yeah, I mean, they were one of the original on the very first ever. And
the very first Fly Jam, yeah, no question about it. So, great stuff. All right, let's see. Here is Tony on WGN. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what's up, Nikki? What's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, I got one for you that'll clean your ears out from that song that you played, man.
Right.
George Duke, Reach For It.
Here we go. That's Fly. That's, yeah, Tony, thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
Take care. Have a good one. There you go. There's Tony requesting some Fly Jams right there. All right, another request here from the 301 area code. We go from the Shy Lights to another classic to the Four Tops.
You are you man enough, big and bad enough.
Another example of a band that has been featured prominently since the very first Fly Jams. Four Tops. All right. Here's Leslie on WGN. Hi, Leslie.
Hello, Cold Spring, Texas, listening to you. Mike Livingston.
Thank you very much.
Joe Jones. Joe. You're the only thing on out here in this part of Texas. I can't get anything out of Houston. I'm 90 miles north of Houston. Can't hear a thing out of Houston. But I get Chicago just fine.
There you go. That's the power of the 50,000 watts.
Joe Jones, you talk too much.
Oh, my God. Classic. All right.
You talk about people that you don't know. You talk about people wherever you go. You just talk too much. You talk about people that you never seen. You talk about people you can make me scream. You just
there you go. Thank you, Leslie. Appreciate you listening all the way in, down in Texas. Very, very, very cool. I'm glad we've got that signal going, man. You know, Dan, we still, everybody can listen to us around the world because of the streaming, because of the website and all that stuff. But we can still, I mean, it's a 50,000 watt love pump.
Yep.
So there you go. All right. Hey, that's it for the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back on Monday morning. Jim Laskowski is now going to be a part of the permanent movie review show. So Jim and Jim and Eric and myself will begin 2019 with fresh reviews. Lots of stuff coming out this week. There'll be a lot of stuff to talk about on Monday morning. And my dad will call in and tell a joke. All right, the news is coming up after this.